Any event, anytime, anywhere in the U.S. If you're looking for portable displays and graphics for any convention, conference, party, home show, job fair, photo backdrop, even DJ sets, ExpoNet USA is here to provide the best pricing and service for all your printed branding and marketing needs. With printing facilities on both sides of the country and well-connected in the middle, ExpoNet USA makes things happen without the huge rush fees or high shipping costs. Call Display J at 301-378-9363. Graphic design services are available as well. Visit us at www.exponetusa.com. Also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
From the center of the universe and covering Baltimore, D.C., Philly, Pittsburgh, and all points in between, it's the Hub City's own, The Hub Show. And now, here are your hosts, Charming Grissette, Chris Canfield, and Jay Heisch.
That's what she said.
That's good enough. All right, three,
you
two,
don't have
one.
Anything in your box?
Nothing in my box.
That's what she said.
I know. Hub Show, Jay Heisch, Chris Canfield, Charming Grissette.
Gotta add the TTTs.
Yeah.
All right. Hi, the ghost.
Vanna Black is still here.
Vanna Black is in the
house.
She
never left.
Yes. She's always just wandering around.
Does it freak you out?
Yeah. Well, you know, on quiet nights.
Oh, yeah?
On quiet nights when it's, you know, yeah, the whippoorwill is flowing through the air.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right, we got in the house.
You can hear her. Right. You can hear game show dings going off in the background.
That's all she does.
Yeah, ding.
All day long. Price is Right. Say all the centuries.
Yeah. Yeah.
No whammies. No whammies. Right. No whammies. Yeah. No
whammies. All right, in the house, we got our guest here. Karan Dunbar, what's going on, man?
Good. Very good to be here.
I don't know what the lady... I mean,
you don't look very happy to be here. You look like you're tired or half drunk or something.
It's Sunday evening, June 2nd.
So you saw my Facebook. I was doing like this beer.
You got like a Forrest Whitaker eye. One eye is half closed going on.
And that's the Forrest Whitaker eye is whenever people are indulging in alcohol or other, narcotics.
Right. Wow.
Mine's beer, though. Beer?
Are you telling me Forrest Whitaker's fucked up all the time?
Pretty much,
Is that what you're saying?
You know what's funny? Denzel Washington has, it's Bell's palsy, and that's what we had, and it's like this condition where your face goes.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Right. Jim Ross.
Yeah. I had a friend who had Bell's palsy not too long ago, like a month ago.
Just froze up his face.
Weird. Yeah. He said he woke up, and he went to go look in the bathroom mirror, and like half his face was just kind of drooping.
Wait, so who has Bell's palsy?
I was like,
palsy?
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of people that have it. But everyone uses Forrest Whitaker because it's really bad, but Denzel Washington has it. Yeah. But it'd be cooler and like awesome if, like, oh, you look like Denzel Washington.
Oh, Forrest Whitaker.
Look like a knockoff version of Denzel Washington.
In the dark with your eyes squinted with the lights turned down.
There you go. Listen, you have a... I met you last year doing another podcast, Generational Breakers. Shout out to you, Kristen. And but you have a little nice little resume here.
Yes.
You've been to and from the West Coast and back. You're from this area originally, correct?
Originally from Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay.
Springfield, Wagalong, which no one knows where that's at. Springfield Basketball Hall.
Massachusetts.
Yes, Massachusetts.
I gotcha.
Yep. And relocated here to Greencastle, PA. So this has been my home for quite some time now.
Hence
so PA's
the movie.
Yes, hence the movie.
Yep. There you go.
Hence the what movie?
The movie was, I don't want to say it's a biography. Everyone says it's about me, but it's not. It's basically about a lot of things that I've experienced and saw. So after, I've always wanted to be an actor, be involved in film.
Right.
And comedy is like the only way that I saw where you could pretty much start from nothing.
Right.
Write jokes. Something I was always good at was being funny. And that was kind of like my calling card. And pretty much the film was kind of like a little bit about my life and things that I've experienced and stuff. And I was a big fan of quirky independent films. So that's what I did. Decided to do it,
All right. So what's the name of the movie?
Yeah, what's this movie, dude?
Where can we find it?
Please.
What's going on?
So the movie is Greencastle. And we are going to put
the name of the movie is Greencastle?
Greencastle, yes.
Greencastle.
Yep.
It's not a very big movie then.
What do you mean?
Is it compared to the size of the town?
You know, it's funny you say that. No, originally it wasn't. You know, we were just decided to do a film. And we actually didn't get a lot of notoriety here. We were getting it in L.A., New York, Philly, Atlanta, Louisiana. And we were blue collar, man. Like, so
right.
A lot of times when we would we would screen other areas. You know, people aren't here. Like I've always said, when I talk to like college kids, if you can't do it here, you can't do it anywhere. And everyone thinks, oh, I've got to be from LA. Everyone plays like, oh, I'm from New York. I'm from here. And I'm like, listen, man, like I grew up in, you know, rural Pennsylvania.
Yep.
This is what I'm about. And the crazy thing is everyone's trying to get in that door of like every me in Hollywood or entertainment business. And everyone's telling the same story.
Trying to fall into a niche, but they end up copying each other because the popular niche is always the popular niche.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you just lie and say you're a part of that.
People want what you made.
Yeah,
people want to see it. Like that movie Nebraska. People, it resonates with them.
That's what everything. I don't think like. Now when I look back, I don't think like, you know, the second film you saw a big progression in the writing, but the first film, I don't think it was like this amazing film. I think people just were like, yeah, you know, I'm from a small town too.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, so people would appreciate the hard work and the honesty behind it. You know, I think it was a story that kept, you know, hey, there's a bunch of these kids in PA, check out the trailer, and they saw the trailer, and back then, like, you know, 2012, like
2012,
yeah, and that's okay. So that was with that shift of like. There were like really talented filmmakers, and then there were people that were just like, you could tell, like, you know, it was an insult, but it was a compliment, a backhanded compliment. Oh, it looks like a real film. You'd get that a lot and stuff. So,
because it is a real film.
But I think it's just the fact that it is somebody from a small town doing something big, and that's always
intriguing to people.
Need that, you know?
I guess the wall there, or the hurdle that we're crossing, is that the flyover states are actually becoming more popular.
Yeah.
Now, well, you know, it used to just be the three big cities or whatever.
Well, the last 30 years, though, the filming has shifted. Filming has been done in Georgia, Louisiana. They give tax breaks.
Technology has shifted
the movie studios,
and made it easier, too.
New Mexico.
So.
That's correct.
Breaking Bad was filmed in New Mexico. Yeah. They didn't film that stuff out in California. It's expensive out there, man, to film.
So. Mm-hmm.
As ironic as it all is, right?
So.
I mean, I spent a chunk of time in L.A., but you were out in L.A. from what year? When did you go out to L.A.?
I was always out there. I never lived out in L.A. I would do a lot of
work. Oh, you just went back and forth?
Yes, back and forth. Oh, I gotcha. And I think a lot of people think that, oh, well, you have to. There's a lot of my friends that would go to, you know, a lot of friends.
They do say that. You got to be there.
But. Yeah. And that's a thing that you have to be there, or you have to find ways to win. You know what I mean? So if you don't have what other people have, you've got to find ways to be successful.
Right.
A really good friend of mine, Mark Smith, DJ Busy, you know, he's from same narrative. You know, same narrative, you know, and, you know, the kid couldn't be denied, you know.
Shout out to Mark.
Yeah. He's talented, period. You know, and I think.
Charming to schedule him to get on the Hub Show here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wednesdays.
Oh.
Yeah. Phenomenal DJ. Sometime soon. You know, just really talented DJ and stuff. And he's from this area.
Right.
And, you know, one thing about him is, you know, the back one earlobe, there's a tattoo of PA, and the other one, it's a tattoo of California. You know, and
P-A-C-A.
I think.
PACA.
Yeah. And that's, people don't want to, like, so there's two narratives, like, I remember when we started doing the film, everyone's like, the first thing that people want to jump on is like, oh, I'm going to wait for him to claim something he's not, right?
Right.
And it got to the point that people were splitting hairs so much that they were like, well, he's not really from Pennsylvania. And I'm like, okay, technically, I'm from Hartford, Connecticut.
I know, right.
Pennsylvania is my home, right? Yeah. So I'm like,
right,
it's
but
not
if you tried to say the opposite, they'd be saying the same thing.
Exactly.
Because people do that to me, too. They're like, oh, so you're from PA? And I'm like, well, I mean, I've lived all over.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really, I've lived chunks of places everywhere. They all made me.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I own them all separately.
Yeah.
You know?
Same way. I was nomadic. I was military brat.
Yeah.
I don't have a place to really
Plus
call.
Plus, my grandfather's here. We have no family. Like, we
you asked where I'm from. I have been here now for 5 years. So if someone asks where you're from, I'm going to say I'm from Maryland.
Yeah.
I was in L.A. for, you know, a decade and a half. So for a while, I was from L.A., from California, but, you know.
Yeah.
Now, Charm is the same way. She grew up bouncing around.
Now,
you know?
LA is getting to a point where you don't want to admit you're from there.
Yeah.
That's something. Yeah. That's true.
Was Alexander Payne from Nebraska?
Huh?
So, was Alexander Payne from Nebraska?
Who's Alexander Payne?
From the movie Nebraska? I assume so. I don't know. He wasn't? So, probably not.
Maybe he spent time there.
He just grabbed Nebraska. Does it sound like a cool name to use? And
What about the movie Juno?
What about Arkansas?
Juno was a good crossover movie.
Yeah, Fox Searchlight. Yeah, they're the ones that produced that. Juno. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She's amazing.
Was that her first movie? Was that when she
Hard
first
Candy,
broke out?
She did Hard Candy because I was a really indie nerd and like Hard Candy. Like,
you talking about the girl from Juno?
Yeah, Helen Page.
Yeah.
Helen Page. Oh no, I was thinking of the writer.
Oh, the writer. Oh, okay.
Brain fall.
Because it's like a, it's a ghostwriter name type thing. She just chose to use it because it's from where she's from. But anyways, and she wrote the other movie that you had the flyers from, Jennifer's Body.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she wrote Megan that Fox. Too. She's really, really, really good.
Right. Megan Fox?
No, you know, Megan Fox didn't write it.
That's Megan Fox?
Yeah, it's Megan Fox.
That's the chick from Transformers?
My brain
and
is
from
dead.
Jennifer's Body.
How about that?
How about that?
I never put two and four together.
Two and four. Anyways, back
sorry.
To you.
Yeah. Green Castle, baby. So where can we get that film? Is it on YouTube? Is
so what's
there?
This movie? What's it about?
So it's about a guy that's kind of going through, like the running joke, is a quarter-life crisis, right?
Gotcha.
And he gets to the point where that's character like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. he gets to a point where, you know, he has a quarter-life crisis and he starts to wonder what it all really means. I mean, same narrative.
It's a character piece.
Exactly, yeah. So it's basically kind of like this quirky character that his wife passed away, is left being a single parent, and he kind of goes to those moments of, like, you've got to open up, like, you can't heal what you don't reveal. So if you're going through trauma, we all have trauma, I don't care what anyone says, and if you don't have trauma, you terrify me, because that means you have a lot of unaddressed issues. And this character had a lot of...
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I'd rather deal with someone that, like, is a raging alcoholic, or you know they have a past and history.
There's an honesty kind of, to it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there is, yeah. Right. There's this, that, like...
And somebody who has it all together.
Yes. Yeah, and there's just, like...
And they're pretentious.
Yes.
Right.
And they're,
yeah.
Those people who talk like this all right. the time.
Yeah. And we made references in that to one of the scenes.
Like
the
Stepford Wives.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, where in reality they're going home in their, like, Mercedes crossover van and, you know, popping Xanax and drinking boxed wine.
Yeah,
you know?
They're just numbing themselves.
Yeah, they're numbing themselves. Yeah, and I think, you know, part of the
but when the kids come home, they go, "Hi, honey.
Right.
It's so great to see you."
And they put a lot of pressure. I mean, as parents, we always put pressure on our children, but, like, I think those type of parents put undue pressure on them. Like, it's kind of all their failed dreams and goals. They're really forcing it through their children, and that's why it's this vicious cycle. Then these children start to be
depressed,
you know, repressed and crazy and stuff. Versus, like, I think, you know, your normal person, like myself, like, yeah, do we live our dreams through our kids? Yes and no. Like, I saw the mistakes I made just to be, I guess, I'm somewhat normal.
Right.
By, you know, today's category, you know.
He took the punches and stood back up.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, I just, you know, if you love your family, your friends, your brother, sister, whoever, you don't want them to take those punches. And you know, you say, oh, well, you got to take your licks. But it's painful, man. And some people don't come back from it. Their lives have been altered, so... You know, that's kind of the way I look at it. Like, as I get older, and even part of, like, through comedy, like, you know, there's a, I forget, Shakespeare said it, time with tragedy becomes comedy.
Right.
You know, it's don't tell.
The and you
pain.
Learn from it.
No,
and
but
you grow
have
from it.
Learn
and you have to
view it from a different standpoint.
There's nothing funny about it.
Once you laugh
life.
About it, you know, you kind of heal from it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Corinne, I follow you on Facebook, and you were gone for a little bit there.
Yes,
you came back on.
Yeah.
Now, you get a lot of compliments for, you post a lot of stuff like what you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
It's not all, I mean, I like to post funny stuff and keep it light, but some people post nothing but negativity.
Yeah,
we know the type.
Yeah. Yep.
You're all over the place, which is a good thing. You're posting all the emotions there.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people give you a thumbs up for that. Me too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is not what I want to do on Facebook, but, you know, with you doing it, and you're enlightening people, obviously. And I know what it is. When you see someone going through something and you can it resonates with you, like you've gone through it yourself, then you don't feel alone. Like,
yes.
You know what I mean?
That's, yeah.
And
yeah.
people like
it
you doing that,
people.
Doing it the right way. You know what I'm saying? There's
humanize
a way to do it.
Yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, I respect you for that. I read what you write. It's all good. And a lot of people I know are listening to you.
Yeah.
And reading what you're putting. So
I think it's kind of me yearning for, like, you know, not yearning, but it's another outlet. I don't care. Yeah. We're all artists. You know what I mean?
We're all, like, trying to find something, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to find that meaning in life.
Yeah.
Whatever it is to you, to me.
Yeah. And that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a fly in the house. Somebody get the chopsticks.
This is Chris's drama. This will keep him up for 3 days.
Go get me the chopsticks.
And the
I'm gonna smack
sword.
This thing.
Put him in the freezer.
It's already landed on my nose twice.
It's because you smell, dude. You bring flies, Chris. Get your fly swatter. No chopsticks.
It's the only buzz I know.
Well, here
the
we go.
Flies
this will be all over the podcast. He's, forget the gavel. He's gonna start smacking.
Stay still.
Yeah, he's gonna listen to you. Chris fights for fly. There,
got him.
Got him.
Got him. He's dead.
On the remote.
But
the
I think
dead
it
fly.
Comes down to the, I had a good friend of mine say this to me once, and it struck me. Like, I never thought about things this way, but I was just like, oh, I really try hard not to project my issues onto people.
Yes.
And then he said, well, you have to in some facet because then you wouldn't be yourself.
Yeah.
And I was, it just blew my mind. I was like, well, yeah, actually, that's very true. Like, you know, like those are the things that shape you, you know, that's who you are. Like you go through things and like, you know, if you pretended like they didn't happen, then what was it for?
And I think that's, you know? That's absolutely right. Like, I think everything in life comes in moderation, you know, and like you said, the height, you know, shutting it down. Like, you know, one thing that I learned, like, with being in, and this is before, like, all this stuff started happening in social media and you get in trouble for your thoughts or ideas or that moment.
Yeah.
So if, you know, if you're going through a tough time or, you know, you got to just shut it down. That's what I did. You shut it down. But
just a step back, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because
and evaluate life.
You know, because your filter is skewed. And you're like, you don't know what's going to come out. And then you'll think about it later and you'll feel worse.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's just like, it. You know, it's an example. I don't care what anyone says. Everyone, like, I follow the, I don't know what you'd call them, motivational speakers, kind of understatement, Gary Vee.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the people were complaining about, like, what we're doing, this media and our social media. And they're like, you know, I think it's a horrible thing. People taking selfies, taking pictures, documenting. And his response, and, you know, I won't use foul language, but he's very brutally honest.
He is.
Not gonna talk about
he's amazing.
And, yeah, he is. And he's just said the same stuff was said about television back in the 50s and 40s. I'm like, you're right. And radio, they were like, this stuff's going to kill the generations, blah, blah, blah. Then you got the internet. And everyone was like, the internet's going to be the end of everyone. No one's going to know how to communicate. Humans, we're evolving the way we communicate.
It's true.
Period. You know, like, now radio, what we're doing now is like taking over because you had three studios that would control everything, you know, and a
Tony,
you know, and then guys like you come out and there's people that want to hear this, you know, and they're like, oh, and the scary, the interesting thing is going to happen. You're going to see these huge companies look at, you know, these podcasts.
Yeah, everything's going to start breaking down and getting smaller.
We're trying to get, we're trying to get the local company that we're working with on the TV show to listen to that.
Yes.
And jump in on it now before it gets
It's definitely popping off. Like everybody, everybody and their brother now I see on Facebook. Yeah, so I just started my podcast.
You guys need to reach out beyond Washington County, which is their limit.
Yeah,
and reach out and jump on this now while you can, because in 5 years from
now, this is the Wild
West right now. It is.
Yeah.
It really
and it's
going
to get regulated and it's going to get corporated, whatever you want to call it, and it's not going to be like it is right now.
Yeah,
you think so? You think it's going to go that direction?
I mean, I don't know, man.
I think the man is getting diluted. I think he's they don't know how to act to it. There's no way to regulate it.
It's the Wild West.
Yeah, it's the Wild West.
Well, somebody will. Someone's going to come along and ruin it for all of us, dude.
That I guess net neutrality is what's gonna kill it, right?
That's the fear. And it's just, you know, I think the thing with social media is
they would have to censor the entire net.
That's a scary thing, and that's going to have record. I think that's going to unify a lot of people.
Social media is a double-edged sword. The internet and all that. It is. You know, and I know. I know you have a son. How old is your son?
He's 17.
17. Yeah. I have a 20-year-old and I have a 13-year-old. I mean, they're growing up in this world. They don't know. They don't know life without.
Their
heads is always down. Yeah. They're doing all the communicating through it and all that.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
for those of you listening and not watching, Jay just grabbed his crotch.
Yeah, all they're communicating, they're talking through it. No,
I think any more kids come out of the womb knowing how to use this technology.
No kidding, your 4-year old picked this thing up today.
The DNA knowledge just gets passed down.
Well, I mean, I always joke about it because I'm 45, and I know people who went to college, right? For instance, for graphic design, 4-year degree or whatnot.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're still paying for this degree. But meanwhile, my 12-year-old niece can just whip out her phone and do the stuff he just went to school for.
Well, think about education, learning.
Technology moves so fast, man.
It's easy to learn because I remember, like, I don't care who you are, I don't care if you're rich, middle class, white,
black, whatever.
It's
there to be used. Yeah.
Remember, there's the books, the red books. Encyclopedia Britannica.
Oh, I love those.
Every family had those.
I did.
I had them.
Every family had it.
And I read them.
Yes.
Yeah. I read them. That would be like when I was like 8-9 years old, I would just be like, hey, has anybody seen Chris? Oh, I think he's up in the red carpet room reading Encyclopedia Britannica.
You'd have to do book reports. It was like you'd have to go to your
friends. Yeah, that was your research.
I didn't know how to the bibliographies? I had no idea. Like back then, now
citing all your work.
No.
My son's seventh grade. The Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah,
what's that?
Dewey Decimal System.
That's some foreign language, man.
That's crazy.
Does that even exist anymore? I haven't been to a library.
I don't think so, man. It's all.
I don't know. I think it was. I think
it does. You go through a card catalog. Guarantee you go to a computer now, right?
Oh yeah.
That's what I'm wondering.
That's how it is in Barnes and Nobles.
But you still got to walk down the aisles, right, in the library to find the book.
Yeah.
I don't know, right?
They just alphabetize them, right? I mean, it's not like the Library of Alexandria. I'm sure they're still on the Dewey Decimal System because they got so many. They have every book in the world, but, you know, throughout history.
All
but
the scrolls.
All the scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls
when
and
Alexandria
shit. I'm sure they're still on the Dewey Decimal System, but I don't think Barnes & Nobles or Borders is going to be working on the Dewey Decimal.
He's all over the map.
I think they just alphabetize things now.
My favorite book from the encyclopedia was D. Anyway.
D for ducks.
What? How's it sound on the speaking spell?
Yeah. Oh. The speaking spell?
What's your favorite book?
Go for it. He's stuttering now, dude.
I know.
Triple D's?
Yeah, triple D's. He's I like double D's,
actually.
He loved
it so much, he had to say it three times.
I know.
Yeah.
So anyway, dude, this is the kind of conversation we need to be having on this podcast, and I know you got a lot to talk about. You have a lot to express, I can tell from the Facebook and all that. And obviously, you've been through something, or you're going through something.
And
people are listening, and like we said, it's resonating.
In the past,
and
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just going to come up again.
Brushed it off his shoulder.
Like you said, with everything we learn, you know.
Hopefully, I think that's a thing. Like sometimes people, you know, we all have that friend, that aunt, that uncle, whatever, that just keep screwing up, you know, month after month, year after year. And we're all guilty of it, but it's just like, sometimes it's easier just to kind of deal. When you face, like, you know, your issues, traumas, whatever you want to label them as, that shit hurts, like, immediately for, like, it's painful, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
But eventually when you do, you're going to grow from it, you know? And I think I've made that choice to look at, like, you know.
That's a before and after.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of surprising or makes you think when you see old people who are still dealing with, like, stuff that happened as a teenager or something.
Yeah. It's amazing.
And you're like, you're going to die soon. Are you ever going to get over this? Are you ever going to get over it?
Yeah.
But I think that's the some thing. Point,
I have
that,
though. I have stuff
being
I'm holding
a generational
on to
breaker, you see that pattern and you don't want to end up like
right?
that. You're just like,
it's like you're like an
I
80 year old.
I can't move forward like this.
Yeah, it's like you're like 80 years old, but you're stuck at 15.
Right.
Like you never got over that.
It's arrested development.
It's crazy.
But people don't know how to open up either, man.
Yeah. I think that
they all need to start a podcast is what they need to do.
That's right. That's right. Or have, you know, just feel comfortable and have own it.
But not everyone's
healthy conversations. I know it's difficult.
It's tough
but you
to
have
own,
to get to that point.
It's like, tough to own stuff. You know, I think like put it now, like I think I always, you know, when I was, you know, doing stand up and talking about all the things that we used to talk about, like we would talk about like being, you know, being broke, you know, being poor, this and that. And when you were poor, that shit wasn't funny. That was not funny when
at the time. When
you're
living
it. Yeah,
when you're living it.
Yeah, when you're living it, it's not. And now you're seeing, like, I'm seeing these, like, hipster kids that they act
glorify
like
it.
Yeah, they glorify and they act like they were.
Oh,
like,
that's a whole show to itself.
Right? You could go in a hole. I could go in a rabbit hole about that. And I'm not that guy that's going to say, oh, like if a guy listens to like Sublime, I'm not going to point their finger and call them like a poser because people like what they like. But when you go out of your way, a quick story. So, I was in New York and I went to just got done meeting another comedian. I just got done with the show and got invited to a party.
Right.
And it was kind of, it was in East Village. So that's kind of like a hipster,
hipster
crowd
place.
Yeah. Go to an ATM because the bar that we were at didn't have it didn't have an ATM. That was their thing. Like, oh, we're not gonna have an ATM.
We walked two blocks.
Yeah. So we walked and the guy in front of me, he uses his debit card, right, and withdraws the money and he leaves. And then I use the card and a slip comes out. So I'm like, we're at the same place. You know, I'll bring it back to him. So I put my card in, get my money out, and I'm going to him and I kind of forget about it. And then we're in the same group and you know, people are just asking like, everyone's doing something. Like, I've been in this, I've been in Law and Order, you know, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, well, I'm a comic. You said a comic and stuff. And, you know, we just got doing a venue. And it was like the New York Comedy Club. It was like some shithole on 26th Street. Like, they had all these pictures of all these comedians that
were there.
Yeah, but, they probably stepped foot in there to use the toilet. Like, can we get an autograph?
LA's full of those places, by the way.
Yeah.
I know, I've been there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
all the pictures of, like...
Oh, yeah, by all means.
Of Burt Bacharach up on
absolutely.
The thing.
Yeah.
It's just because he walked in to use the bathroom.
Or used the payphone or something back in the day.
Is
thing.
It, like,
boom.
These pictures of people?
No, these people...
Our Wall of Fame, these people were actually interviewed and on the podcast.
That's right. Anyway, so what happened? ATM.
Oh, so we get the ATM and he gets in there and we're just like, he starts like groaning about not having.
Wow.
He's like starts groping himself now.
New York, baby.
He starts groaning about like, you know, money and stuff. And shit was tight for me. Yeah. And it was like really tight for me. So I remember like pulling that money out and like, man, I hope someone buys me a drink or likes me here, because like I've got $40 and $40 is go a long way even in a dive bar.
Yeah.
And he starts saying something about being poor, and I was kind of like, I was just in one of those weird moods. I think I like bombed my set, so I was in a really crappy mood. So I was like, dude, here's your and I didn't get a chance to look. I looked at it. It was like in his checking account, he had like $119,000. And I couldn't wrap my head around that. This guy's younger than me and has $119,000. I'm like, is this a save? No, it's his checking account, because it says that.
Yeah.
So I told him in front of everyone else, I'm like, dude, you can just like buy this bar. And he got really, really adversarial with me. And, you know, want to fight. I'm like, dude, like, this stuff like that where people kind of like, I don't even know how to word it, like, glamorize like the struggle and stuff. That's what kind of pisses me off.
It's like stolen valor.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost, because it's like, you know, you go through things.
Everyone's
and then
a nerd
you
now.
Hear
oh, I'm
somebody
such, yeah.
like
I mean, that's the
do
thing.
That, and yeah. you're just
we,
like,
we,
man.
This is a whole other conversation. Like, all right. I think Richie's over listening to Richard Pryor or something. What's he doing?
I mean, Richie and I talk about similar things when it comes to this.
No, no, I want to hear just what
people's personalities,
no,
how they carry themselves.
That, you know,
yeah.
the pathetic cries for help that aren't real.
Yes,
like the people
yeah.
that are crying wolf all the time. And you're just like, man, like if you had really been through that, or if you know what that's really like, you wouldn't be like, it's, you're almost, you know, it's a lark, you know, like you're just making a joke out of it.
And it affects people actually really going through it, because you desensitize, especially social media. You see this type of people on social media.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you desensitize people where they're like, maybe someone is going through a traumatic situation.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's why I feel like, though, we talked about charming. People need to open up and let go of the problems and talk about them.
That's
but
true.
Some people talk about them too much.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
true.
And I think I call people saddos, because there's people who like being down and depressed, and they're like Debbie Downers. Everything in their
it's
life.
Like I forget who we were talking to the other day. I don't even know if it was on the podcast or not, but I was talking to somebody saying that I think that people who are like that just like to be coddled.
I do too.
They're addicted to being babied. They want people to come and pat them on the head and go, it'll be okay.
I see people like every time they're on Facebook.
What's next? I just stubbed my toe.
Seriously, like, let the whole world know about it. God. Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, you think I didn't stump
this
my toe or spill my coffee
great.
This morning?
Like, yeah, like that's just,
you know, I ran over my foot with a lawnmower. What are we talking about?
You
hear me crying?
Make it a bad day or make it a bad 5 seconds?
I mean, that, you know, and that's, I think a lot of people at one point in their life, they got that. Most people that have, like, trauma or, like, have serious issues.
Serious issues, though.
Yeah. Their parents were, like, feeling sorry for myself was a luxury I was never afforded. Like,
I
could never, ever, growing up, like, you know, and I'm not bragging about it. You know, maybe 10, 12 years ago in comedy, I would brag about it. But, like, you know, my grandfather, that generation, people forget. When you're raised by your parents, it's one generation. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was raised in the Great Depression.
Great Depression.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, my sister kind of, like, I would complain about
him
a lot.
They know hard work.
Yeah. So
my father was raised in the Great Depression.
Yeah.
Right.
So they hold
right
on
off
to everything.
The heels of it.
They hold on to everything. Like, I used to make fun of them for taking, like, the baggies that you get bread in.
Oh, they
save
it.
Reuse them.
My dad, the grossest thing that ever experienced in my life was, my dad used to take, when you ran out of ketchup and you're like squeezing it and you run out of a little bit on your hot dog or whatever, he'd be like, put a little bit of water in it, shake it up, and then squirt it onto the thing so you get all the ketchup out of the bottle. He'd do it every bottle.
But disgusting.
But like they learned. But they learned to save, though.
I learned. Yeah, resourcefulness was a powerful lesson from my grandmother.
Soggy bread makes me want to throw
vomit.
Up.
That's the worst texture. Yeah. Like, that's why I don't like open face sandwiches for that reason.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Anyway. Wow.
Fucking A.
Let it out, people.
Just let it out. Turn
the spigot off.
Everybody has a pity party sometimes.
Yeah.
We all do.
I think we should, but it's a moderation.
I think you should honor what you're going through and, like, face it. No, I mean, if you're pretending like there aren't feelings there, then that's not healthy.
Well,
you know, and you can just be like, oh, guys, I'm going through some shit, blah, blah, blah. And then you have to find a healthy way to get out of it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, we all need a good friend.
Yeah,
but I think dumping it on social media and letting the whole world know some crises you're going through, I guess it helps some people. But really, I just think some stuff.
I think we're mainly just talking about the people that just, like, you know.
Yeah, what do
the
all
nonstop,
the what do
like,
all the what do all the thoughts and prayers do?
Yeah,
that's what I keep asking myself every time. Every day on Facebook, there's something like, send your thoughts and prayers, and I keep thinking to myself, Well, I don't. I at least I need to know what I'm praying for first off,
right?
I can't just like throw out like an empty gesture out into space. So you need to tell me what the problem is. If you're not willing to, if you're not willing to admit what the problem is, then it's not worth it. And then, what the hell does it count if I think about it? I mean. Sure. I mean, I guess it counts for something.
I
but
mean, they do say that prayer has been clinically proven to work. Yeah, like, but, you know, a collective mind, like a hive mind type of thing that's all thinking in a positive direction.
But if we
don't
know the direction,
in being positive all the time,
if they're not willing
unhealthy,
to give us direction, then yeah. how are we supposed to know where to send it?
Well, absolutely. Yeah. It's just like, am I just supposed to think about you? Like.
Well, here's the interesting thing about what both you guys are talking about. Like, I hate to say this, but I'm going to, you know, say it. Like,
say
if,
it.
If someone, you know, something tragic happens to said person, and everyone's, you know, the all the comments and likes and, the, you know, the
stuff.
Sad
yeah.
faces
yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, the emojis.
My question is, I don't care if you're Muslim, Christian, non-belief, you know, whatever you are, are you actually praying? Are you actually doing what you're going to do? Or is it just... And then you don't do that. So that's a philosophical question. Like,
if you type in thoughts and prayers your way, and then go to bed.
And I've caught myself doing that where I'm like, I've like, oh, you know, someone will say, hey, you know, I'm going through, I'm looking for a job, you know, please pray for me. And I've caught myself saying prayers. And then like 3 hours later, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. I'm
kind of but wait a minute.
Yeah,
someone,
I spent no time space with that.
If,
like,
yeah. but if you're going to do it, do it.
Yeah, but someone on Facebook is a friend of yours. Announces that, you know, their grandmother who they were close to passed away. You know, you don't know the grandmother, but you know this person.
Yeah.
And you do feel bad they've lost somebody.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, our condolences and all that. I mean, it is coming from the heart. If he's a friend of yours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the problem with social media,
do,
like that oversaturation. That's the like where you,
yeah,
you we get desensitized.
Yeah,
you know,
like trying to trying to filter out the genuine thoughts from the empty gestures.
Fleeting thoughts.
But an inbox can go a long way. So I've always like when I like you know I'll you know like,
yeah send them a personal message on Facebook.
That, and there's times where I've got personal messages where I'm like, shit, this helped. You know what I mean?
Versus
like,
just
or vice versa or
on a thread on Facebook.
Yeah, like that post I did like. I was like, so I was just being funny. Like, I was like, I try not to, like, you know, really, like, and again, people are like, say what you want to say. But no, as I get older, man, it's not cool being a dick to everyone. It's not cool being, there's so many things that can affect us, right? Why be that extra person? Like, if you're having a bad day and I just cut you off in traffic, what purpose does that serve? So I was just joking about, you saw the one about the Olive Garden.
Yeah.
So I just being over the top about like, oh, I'm gonna go today I go on adventures on Sunday, so I'll drive.
Explain that though.
About the it's a running joke in comedy and it's in Greencastle. It's like my running joke about like, you know, if we want to go, like if I'm trying to like impress
a fancy,
girl.
That's the fancy,
Yeah.
The fake Italian.
I'm taking this girl to Olive Garden.
Olive Garden, yeah. And it's just like, you know.
She can get all the bread and salad she wants.
Yes.
Olive Garden.
And I've had two horrible experiences there. So I
We're
just,
family.
I don't like, you know what I mean? Again, like, you know, just being able to have like real authentic Italian food.
Sure.
It's tough to go back. It really is.
Right.
And stuff.
Absolutely,
so,
man.
And I'm a firm believer in like supporting, like, I'm not the person that just says, oh, I want to support local business, and they don't. Now, if there's a $2 difference, I'm not going to do it, but there's a lot of benefits.
The mom
of
shopping. And pops.
Yeah,
sure.
Let's be honest. There's a lot of benefits of it. But my running joke's about that, so I said, I've been doing a lot of things on Sundays, right? Been starting to shoot a lot of photography, and I'll go to wineries. I'm doing a series of winery photography. So it kind of caught on a picture I did last year in the Leesburg area. People were buying it. People that have like horse farms, you can see the lines on that. So
up and down 15, right?
Yeah. So we were just on that whole route, and then I started doing stuff on Sundays because like, you know, or Saturdays where I just want to people like there's nothing to do in this area. Dude, Leesburg's 45 minutes. I didn't realize they had like a downtown boutique.
Oh
like,
yeah, Leesburg is beast.
I had no idea. And my buddy that I was
they actually get like real bands in like a small theater down there.
Yes.
Like it is like. The theater is like half the size of the Maryland Theater.
Yes.
It is like half the size of the Maryland Theater. It's just some old movie theater that they used to have, and
they
get
rocks.
They get
they're making it work.
They get real like rock bands in there and kill it. Yeah,
Hagerstown, wake up.
Yeah, and there's things that we can do around here. So like, I'll go up to the Adams County Winery in Gettysburg and stuff like that. So I just started like before I go a lot of places by myself. And I've always kind of marched the beat of my own drum. Like, if someone, hey, you want to go here? No. Then I'll be there. I'm that guy that...
Yeah. I lived that life.
Yes, yeah.
Until I met Vanna over here.
Yeah.
Just Vanna Black. I did that for 15 years. I would put out the word, like, hey, I'm going to this concert. I'm going to go see Mos Def tonight.
Yep.
Anybody want to go? And nobody would respond.
Or they would go, I'm going to be there. So and then you ask them, they're
I'd
like,
be like,
no
okay, we'll go ahead and buy your ticket then, and I'll be there. I'll meet you such and such and what time, and they
nobody.
Wouldn't. Nobody would ever show up.
So
but it doesn't,
by
stop,
myself
it doesn't
too.
Stop
it
me from having fun.
Yeah, no. I'll go anywhere by
myself. People will post things that these events coming up. I will, if I legitimately am interested, I'll let them know I'm interested. I won't put them going unless I know I'm going for sure. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I mark that I'm interested so that it reminds me.
Well, that too. But if I really am interested, I'm interested.
Yeah. Can't
always
make it.
But I
don't do it to everything.
Yeah.
Get their hopes up.
But that post was basically me saying if you, and it was kind of like satire, like if you, because I like, if you don't like ska, punk, reggae, just some of this like, not obscure, I love like ska, punk, I love reggae and all that. And then I was like, and then I was like, if you refer to your girlfriend as your old lady, joking. We live in Pennsylvania. All my friends do that. You know? So it was just me being funny. And the last, I can't remember the last thing was. So somehow the post, people start posting and we're like, oh, way to practice inclusion and blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And like, so I just thought it kept rolling. And then people, then, so it got, people got the humor. So someone photoshopped me into a picture of Olive Garden and they found a picture of me drinking a glass of wine. And it looked like, it was hysterical. And I thought it was funny. Well, the next day, a guy that actually my son wrestles. He's like the head guy of like this wrestling program.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that.
And
yeah.
he was like, hey, you know, it doesn't sound like my type of party. Way to practice inclusion or something like that. And then he like that. And then he was like, bye. Jeez. And then like the next day, I went to ask him a question. It was like ad friend. I'm like, oh shit, this guy unfriended me over like me like taking digs at Olive Garden.
That is
you
funny.
Know? And it's
that
like
is,
when you tell a story years down the road, no one will believe you. So then I woke up and there was like messages, and one was really heartfelt. Where they were like, you know, I've been going through a lot, and like, you know, I'm glad you're writing funny stuff, because it was like the whole day people would chime in, and it was like, you know, and I try to make everyone inclusion and laughter and so forth. And two people were like, I can't believe you're an elitist for like making fun of Olive Garden.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
And I was
you can't
just
say
like,
nothing
like,
do
you own that
nowadays.
Corporation? Why are you so offended?
Yeah, and they were
like,
just like,
what is the problem?
Right.
Wow.
And I was a little butthurt. I was like, wow, that's like.
Yeah, no. It's,
so
it,
read
does,
the
it, does, it does sting.
I
doesn't
love
it?
Olive Garden.
Yeah.
And I was like,
saying it's not good food.
Well, I think like, elitist is a tough. Like, I don't. I, me,
elitist.
My persona, I don't like that word. I am the. I actually hate elitist.
Sure.
So being called one was like, that's where I was
threw
like,
you
fuck.
Off.
Yeah, I was like, damn. I'm like, what's that? And I looked at it. I'm like, you're an idiot if you're looking at this. And I'm like,
that's
completely
there's lots of that going
everyone.
On.
Now,
yeah, it takes
too much of that going
if
on.
If they're hating on elitists, aren't they not practicing
elitism?
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's a vicious circle, man. People don't know what the hell they're talking about nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you know
it's just
neurotic. It's very ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, this the sting hits you initially, and you're like, what? I just got kicked off this page.
Yeah.
For
not,
what?
Not for
what? And then you're like, and then you think about it, and you're like, oh, never mind. They're just stupid.
Yeah.
We talk about this stuff to our
I got kicked off a Jerry Seinfeld fan page because I made a joke about Louis C.K. Louis C.K. I said something along the lines of like, so what? He likes watching women let him jerk off.
Yeah.
But I think that his appearance on Comedians in Cars and Coffee justified it.
Right? I mean,
and then all of a sudden I got Me Too'd, like left and right. These women started attacking me, and then one of them got on me at first, and then 5 minutes later I looked at my post again, and then there was three of them on me. Then there was five of them on me. Then somebody came on and was like, kick this guy off the page. He's an asshole.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be promoting rape. And I was like, rape? I said, Sarah Silverman said she liked it on the Stern Show.
Yeah.
And then they were like, I don't care what Sarah Silverman says. She doesn't stand up for all women. Kick this guy off the page.
Does,
and next thing you know, I got booted off the page.
Oh, wow.
I was like, what?
We talked about this before we turned the mics on, right?
Yeah.
It's like, that's insane.
Everyone wants, it's a weird world we live in, man. Everyone's supposed to, like, march in a straight line now and say the same things and think the same things. And if you don't, you're ostracized. It's like, get out of here, man.
Right?
Bizarre.
Like, you're talking about Louis C.K. to back this up. We all know what he did.
Yeah.
Jerking off in front of women. And
right.
Pissing some of them off.
Hey, if that's illegal, then lock me up.
But apparently some women weren't pissed off, including Sarah Silverman, who said she thought it was hot.
Yeah.
Now, she's an adult, a consenting adult. And
well, I mean, it seems
like
he was
likes.
Kind of conditioned to think that that was okay. Like, some
Understood.
Women were just, like, into it.
Understood.
I don't know. I wasn't there, you know?
No, like, I understand that. But he says something, but Chris says something like that, and he gets jumped on and attacked.
Right?
He's not talking about himself.
Yeah, I know the fern in Harvey Weinstein's office is a very happy fern.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, I think the issue with what the people do is, like, and I looked at, like, there's a lot of people that, let's face it, that don't like themselves or they're angry about something. And I always like to call, like, recreational outrage. Like,
right.
People will decide, it's like it's a game to them. They're like, oh, I'm going to, you know,
I'm going to take my
anger, yeah, or whatever like that, or like I get passed up for that promotion, so I'm pissed off.
It's a projection.
Yeah, yeah. And like, no one's in their right mind is going to say, you know, if he says something or you write something on, yeah, there, and I'm not going to say, hey, you know, I never really liked you because you always seem like you're happy and, you know, you have what I want. So I'm going to use this post you wrote,
oh, yeah,
to really
tear you up.
You know, tear you up. But the real reason is I personally don't. No one's going to do that. Right. And I know, and the two people I knew immediately, like, they just didn't like me. And I'm like, then why are you following me then? You
right.
know,
to
and
do
so
that
forth.
To you.
And that was their, like, their battle cry.
Well, that's what,
you know?
It seemed
and
a lot.
Like,
they're just
Olive
waiting.
Garden is the reason why. You
but
know,
look, going back to people being sad.
Some people just
all the
watch
time.
You so that they can watch you fail.
That's what I'm saying.
And they
people
love
live
that.
For that.
Yeah, they do.
They live,
social
for that.
Media. And they're like, oh my God, this is the moment.
Isn't that
yeah.
the truth?
This
though,
is
Charming?
It. A lot of people. Yeah, I mean,
some
I
people
think
are on social media just to tear
way,
people down. Like, they're sitting
yeah,
there watching for
or
it.
Another.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
they have nothing else to do in their life but watch for you to say something that they disagree with and go and tear you down.
Yeah.
Or that they feel that they'll have a general backing for.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
correct.
They can
yeah.
jump on it and
it's,
then
it's
they
a
can
popularity
feel justified.
Thing, man. And
yeah.
Then, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm all for, like, progression. Like, right. Like I know we're, you know, as a country, as a world, you know, we are coming a long way. So we have to look outside of the United States. As a world, we're getting better. Can things get better? Absolutely. But, you know, the whole thing in regards to progression is there gets to a point where, like, comedy, where I was watching A Living Color. And
from
like,
back in the day?
Yeah, from back in the day.
You couldn't get
we
away.
Could be,
you
yeah.
and, like,
you couldn't
and
get away with that shit
yeah,
today.
And there's
Married
no,
with Children, you couldn't get away
yeah,
with that
no
today.
There's no possible way and no. stuff. And, like, I remember, like, Married with Children. You know, I remember, like, a lot of the, even, like, in Living Color.
Even
like,
early SNL.
Yes, yeah.
There was
oh, yeah.
a lot of stuff.
80s and 90s
fly.
SNL, there's stuff you couldn't
yeah.
do today,
yeah.
man.
Yeah. So you're looking at that stuff, and you're just like, I was watching that, and I was, like, crying, laughing, and then I saw the one where, you know, I'll just say it. Like, there was a one, it was an episode where he was playing Handyman, which is the guy.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
You know, whatever.
Damon
we
Wayans.
Were just,
yep.
I was just talking
and,
about this the other day with somebody.
And
yeah.
I laughed out, and I laughed in front of my son.
Oh, God. Because
it was Handyman, and he was robbing the March of Dimes.
I remember that.
That's awesome.
And I
it just
was,
sounds funny talking
yeah,
about
and
it.
Yeah, it was just like, and I'm just like, this, you know, someone hypnotized him, and he was basically like a superhero
yeah.
for handicapped people.
Yeah.
So the guy hypnotized him, Jim Carrey's character did, and like brainwashed him, and he was like, the first thing I want you to do is rob the March of Dimes, which I don't even know if they exist anymore. They basically were fundraisers for,
right
yeah.
you know great
it still is I'm pretty
yeah,
sure
I've
still
heard
still
of
it,
kids,
about
it. Yeah.
March
okay.
of Dimes
yeah.
Nickels I'm not sure
yeah,
but
yeah.
yeah.
So and I just start laughing, and then, you know, my son's like, he kind of got the picture and he didn't laugh, and I kind of feel like a jerk, and I'm like, you know, and then you start questioning yourself, like, oh, you know, am I setting a good example? And I know from the bottom of my heart that I have, you know, nothing but love. I've done a lot of work
exactly.
with
exactly.
So, and again, then yeah. I sound like that guy, like, you know what I mean? Like that guy that's like, oh, I'm not racist.
He
I've got black friends.
Yeah.
I started,
my best friends are black.
Yeah. So I'm like, I have handicapped friends. I'm like, nah. And that's the problem. Like, it's like your sincerity. And I think that's where, so with, you know, back to the Facebook, like I was always cognizant of, like, how I, when I told jokes and what I said. And I realized at a young age, words are very powerful. That sticks
well, yeah.
and stones break bones. No, like I've like the worst things that I've ever thought, you know, I mean, or felt is from someone you care about or love.
Right,
absolutely.
So strangers, not really.
Who gives
like,
a shit, right?
Yeah, but you know, and even sometimes, like, you know, when you hear those words versus, like, I know, like the sting of like a bad breakup. If someone says, hey,
sure.
do you want to go through, like, the year of heartache where I'll just take this hammer and break your hand? I would say break my hand because that's going to be 6 weeks healed.
Versus
you know,
a year.
Yeah. Versus a year.
And that's,
you know,
a focused pain. It's not scattered all
exactly,
over your brain.
Yeah. So
it's just a cast and, you know, some bandages.
Yeah,
just,
so I try to be honest with every, like,
surgery.
With everything I do, like with you know, with art, with, you know, photography, anything that I do, even like with DJing and stuff.
Right.
I do what I know. And, like, I think every human being is pretty talented. We're all freaking talented, and I think.
We all got something.
Right,
yeah, we all
got
something.
You need to learn how to tap
right.
into it.
Yeah.
You know
and
what I mean?
And
absolutely.
Unconsciously, like, you know, our parents, like Spike Lee, when we met him when we were mm-hmm. filming Greencastle, I was telling him, we're talking about logic, and I kept saying, you know, hey, logic, you know, how do you continue to do stuff? Logic, logic, logic. And he goes, when you're going after a goal or dream, you cannot use logic.
You can't, because you're already defeated in your brain. You're
logically,
all the
like,
reasons you can't.
Yeah, and this is what's making the internet and making technology getting so more affordable, like this right here. Like, someone might sit back and say, well, the first question America asks, or your parents will ask, are you making money?
Right.
You know, are you making a lot? And then if you say yes, well, how much? And you tell them how much you're making. Well, that's not
enough.
Can you live off of it?
Right.
So you're telling me this whole society.
And then you start making it, and they go, money doesn't buy you happiness.
Yeah, and so it's just this vicious cycle
of,
like,
Debbie Downers.
Live through capitalism, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's damned if you do, damned
if
you
don't.
Yeah. Exactly.
And,
man,
you know, there's always this, you know, sentiment towards artists, like, you can't go through life, and, you know, this is art, you know, you can't go through life without having art affect you. And I had a conversation with a friend. I'm like, I'm not gonna even have this conversation with you. It's true. Like, the shirts on your back, an artist created that design. The car you drive, you know, there's nothing you can possibly do. And he was like, well, I'm in the sense of, like, music and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, television, cut your television off. That's art. You know, music, you know, don't go to the bars.
Literally everything.
Yeah. We wear art.
It's been created by somebody.
That's art. You're wearing art. Like,
it's
you
been
know.
Created by
Literally.
Somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
So, in a.
This, I mean, look at. I mean, I've been saying this for years, though. Like, look at cave paintings. Like, nobody told them how to do that.
We were just talking about today.
Did that.
But the first guy that did cave paintings got picked on, too.
How are you doing?
Yeah.
What is this
guy doing?
Whoa. No way.
Is that blood?
I bet you he was saw as brilliant, because they didn't know how to talk to each other. That's how they talk.
You know, and it's like, that was a natural inclination.
We were just talking that, like, about, like, the cave. Like, so people are like, you know, why? We like to document our lives, human beings do. A journal, you know, storytelling. Before even television, people would tell these stories. Yeah. And it's Facebook, and people taking pictures and stuff like that. And people
everything they do.
You know, they're like, you know, well, why are you know, doing that? And I'm like, we were like, and my friend John I was hanging out with, he was like, these cavemen, like, they wrote pictures of them hunting.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, hey, we're hunting. We're
they're
gonna
on
do
the
that,
Facebook
you know?
Cave wall.
Big-ass buffalo.
Yeah, yeah,
what's
yeah.
up? You know, yeah.
That was their post.
Yeah.
I always viewed the cave paintings
as like a
communication thing.
Yeah.
Like, before they knew how to talk to each other, they're just kind of like grunting at each other, right? And they're just like, and then one of them grabs like a stick and goes over and paints a stick man on the wall. And he goes, is me. He like points at that and points at me, and then he draws a buffalo.
Yeah.
And I shot it.
And then the next
arrow.
Guy comes up and makes
and
one bigger.
Goes,
that's me.
Yeah.
Either way, art is a communication.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's
it
all
is.
A communication.
Oh, he's trying to one-up me.
It's just a different medium.
Draws him with
whatever
a,
medium
draws
you
him with a
to
third
use.
Leg.
But that's the thing, you know, crying. I consider myself a pretty creative person.
Yeah.
I like, obviously, I created this Hub Show thing
yeah.
from scratch,
yeah.
the logo
yeah.
and all that
yep.
stuff, sitting
yeah.
down, just brainstorming.
Yeah.
I love to write. I'm a DJ as well.
Yeah.
I love music. I love how people create. I love where things came from.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not a big Star Wars nut, but I'm a big fan of, like, the mind of George Lucas, how he
yes.
comes up
yeah.
with all that stuff.
Yeah.
Jim Henson, Walt Disney.
Yes.
Not so
yep.
much the mouse, but, I
yeah.
mean,
yeah.
what he did. Right?
Visionary. Artist.
Yes,
you're,
exactly.
If you're an artist, you're a visionary.
Stuff. I'm so enamored
yeah.
by the... Who thought of that? Where did that come from? And where
and
what was
creating
the
an entire world?
You mentioned
world.
Spike Lee, right?
Yeah.
Not always on the same page as Spike Lee on a lot of things, but when I was in high school, he was big. Do the Right Thing came out 30 years ago, and
yeah.
I saw that in the theater. That made me want to be a filmmaker and get into film. And I'm a fan of a lot of his movies.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. I went to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
to get into the whole acting business and all that stuff and tried improv and all kinds of good
yeah.
stuff. And then life happened.
Yeah.
The wife got pregnant. I had to go get a real job. So I spent
yeah.
6 years in the corporate world.
Yeah.
I work for myself right now. I do something that you know, is a
yeah.
little creative. Is creating trade show displays
yeah.
and backdrops. I sell that kind of stuff. But I don't ever want to work in the cubicle farm, the office ever again for somebody else.
Yeah.
I did that for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
My biggest fear is going back. Having to work in the office for somebody.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think...
Or stock groceries or something.
Well, it's interesting, like, when we were talking about, like,
yeah.
you know, people like, you know, why do you call yourself a blue-collar artist and stuff?
Yeah.
And, you know, that it's interesting. That's you're being honest, man, because that's
honest.
Always our fear about, like, so... Personally, we want to create as much
yeah.
as we can. Like, you know, Sundays, we, you know, we're all creating something.
Yeah, after you start getting to a certain age, you want to leave your impression.
Yeah, yeah, and that's
true.
Yeah.
I want to leave my impression on the
that
world.
Too.
And I think that's a
so whatever I can do, I want to do it.
Immortalize
put it
yourself.
Out there.
Yeah, and
right?
that's what you're doing. And I think, you know, in society, it's like people that aren't artists tell us who we are. I get passionate about this.
Me too.
But they, yeah. So it's like you ever have my friends, and that's why I used to joke about with comedy and stuff. And, you know, when you have a friend that's in a band and like, you know, kind of like, I think I have a gift, I can connect with people, sure. And being genuine. And I was like, your band, like, you know, music? Because he's like me. We were working together, the corporate, and, you know,
sure.
in a boiler room, you know, in sales and stuff.
Right.
And I joked with him. I was like, do you ever get that, like, hey, are you still doing that band thing? And it's someone that's never played in their life. And
I
you're
hate
like,
that patronization.
Yes.
It's yes. so obnoxious.
You still DJ?
Are like, you still pursuing your passion?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm just like, someone, like, you know, there's
always... never stop.
Yeah, and that's what people... That
live
don't
for
know what they judge artists off the 1%. So
know.
Part of Hollywood, like 0.5% or 1% of actors, actresses are Hollywood mainstream actors and stuff.
That's right.
So the same thing with a doctor, like Johnny Cochran. He, sure. Everyone knows him as an attorney. So if you're not to his level, well, he's passed now, but like,
yep,
are you
peace.
Not an attorney? But it's like, so it, like, art does not fit the mold, the narrative of anything, like where someone says, hey, my car broke down and my toilet doesn't work. Can you come fix it? You're not going to sit there and say, hey, you know, you can come fix my toilet. I'll tell all my friends about it.
Are
and
you,
you'll get publicity yeah. about it. You know,
are
exposure.
You are you the Roto-Rooter man?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's
well,
just
yes,
like,
I am.
So it's when people say,
very
you know,
creative
hey,
about it.
You know, it,
are you the Culligan man?
Yeah.
Because he's the only guy who can fix my problem.
Yeah. And it's just like people, it's that same narrative of like work. Skilled laborers, artists, we're skilled laborers, you know what I mean? Like, we've learned, we've figured out how to do something, and
you've made lots of mistakes,
yeah.
and we've failed a million times.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. No different than anything else. So,
right.
It's so sad that we've, and I'm guilty, I used to be, but now I just kind of roll my eyes where someone's like, hey, you're that guy that did that film and this and that. And, you know, it was an NYU podcast, and mm-hmm. we were talking about, like, and the one guy really did follow it, and he just followed it for a long time, and he went on to make films, and he says, I don't think people in your town realize, like, what you did never happens. Like, he's like, you're getting references to Spike Lee, Ava DuVernay is, like, retweeting stuff. That doesn't, and he got,
right.
he finally
yeah.
understood, like, I was like, it's not even about, like, to me, it wasn't, like, selling out the Maryland Theater. It's like, I was just elated that, man, like, being able to, like, actually, you know, be with peers and, you know, Spike saying, oh, you're the brother from, like, and you know, Farmland that everyone's talking, you know, and it's not everyone's talking about, but IndieWire magazine happened
you created
to feature
a buzz,
us.
Man.
Yeah, that's all it was. And it, to me, it's not about the fame. It's about people that you look up to. And,
sure.
Like,
you get
and
recognized
they,
for
and
it's
they
surreal.
Just, they, yeah, that's exactly what it was. The kid, like,
absolutely.
You know, winks at you. And I didn't, you know, I was 17, 16 years old. You know, when I was homeless, living in my car, I was just like, man, if I could just create one film, I don't care. Like, I just, my intentions was, I thought it was going to look horrible. I didn't know back then technology was going to evolve. And I knew how expensive film was. Make one film. That's my goal, you know, and I was able
yeah,
to do that
bitch,
and make other
it?
Films.
It's
yeah,
a grind, dude.
Yeah, it is, and it's just like it has comes down to like you can't like feel yourself. You can't be like, oh, I'm so good, everyone's good. You got to work, and I think part of like what makes like you guys create shows like this is work ethic, dude. Like, you know, being an artist, you know, we're all pretty talented, but it's like, are we going to follow through? Are we going to be there until 3 a.m. do whatever we have to do? You know, dealing with the divas, other artists. We're all, like, most artists, we're all batshit crazy. Like, let's
yeah.
face it. You know what I mean?
We're
are. There's
eternal.
Something seriously wrong with most artists.
Yeah.
And I don't say that in a negative light. Yeah, you know.
I think it's a big part of it.
Yeah,
honestly,
yes. Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's one thing I remember, like, I normally never, but, you know, talk about, like, my personal relationships and stuff like that, you know, when I'm, you know, doing interviews and stuff. But, you know, I say now, like, now that I'm, like, you know,
if you got
single,
hate in your heart, just let it
no,
out.
No, man. No. I'll just spit
man.
It out. But
you're
I was.
Haters town. Let it out.
Haters town.
You know, now that I'm, like, you know, single, I decided to leave a relationship I was in for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to realize, like, the do's and don'ts on, like, when you're dating or you're meeting someone or going on a date and, you know, doing, like, online dating, like, you know, Tinder or Bumble.
Oh,
if
my
you
God,
even call
that
Tinder,
horrible, isn't
even
it?
If you call, well, Bumble's actually not bad. Bumble gives, like, the woman control where she has to, like you, and then you connect, and she has 24 hours to decide if she wants to write you. If she
yeah,
doesn't,
yeah, I was on that before.
Oh, you are? Okay, yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Tinder's, like,
it's horrible. I tried them all out, and
yeah.
all of them are horrible.
Well,
I have a list 1,000 girls long of, like, of
of dates gone wrong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Well, you know, okay.
Like, you get 5 minutes into the date, and you're like, oh, this is why you're single.
Yeah.
Well, I get it now. Now I know why you're on this website.
Your profile. Let me ask you a question, your profile. Like, when I wrote on there, like, I was, like, in film because I thought that'd be really, you know, that's what I do. I work as an artist.
Right. You'd be impressive.
Like, no one wrote, girls were like, and I'm thinking, like, this motherfucker. Right. Broke. Like, yeah. I am not going to talk to him.
My whole profile was a joke. I said, like, I negotiated a terrorist attack in Cuba and saved hostages. I've climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
And I'm also a carpenter.
With one leg and all this other stuff. Like, I had a whole list of things that I've done that I haven't done.
Yeah, so. and then
I got attention that way.
That's yeah. So it's like, so that's what's just, it's, wow. It's tough. Like, someone might say, I wrote, like, the boring stuff, like, Bank of America or wherever, or the, you know, and then you change your profile, and then people were like messaging me. I'm like, oh man. And then the weird thing is, a few times, that's kind of why I want to go back to, like, you know, doing a I don't want to call it a web series, but like doing like a season of a sitcom about like life, you know, about things like this, because right there, as soon as I said online dating, you were like, boom, no one wants to talk about it. Like,
it's horrible. Like, it's a horrible situation.
Yeah. Well, actually, we're going to have it, but we didn't get around to it yet. The single dudes, I'm not, but I'll sit back and listen.
Yeah.
I want to get the single man and the single lady on here to talk about
that,
the challenges,
dope.
The ups and downs.
The challenges.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how old you are, Karen. How old are you?
37.
37?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Jameer, he was going to do it last year. We couldn't get the female to show up.
Yeah.
You know, so that didn't quite work out. But
Jameer's got a woman.
Yeah. Now he's
yeah. Now, like, he's and happy. I was the most eligible bachelor in Hagerstown. Now I got a woman.
I know.
So times are moving on.
You're where I want to be. No.
Well, listen.
Let's
set that up, because it could be an interesting, you know, let you guys go at it. I mean, what the women go through and what you go through and just...
It's interesting because, like...
Let the fireworks happen.
You know, I realize, I've been saying this a lot. I'm a broken record, and I'm cool with it. Like, you know, we all have trauma, right? Mm-hmm. But, and I think the thing is, it's okay if we're addressing it, but when you don't, you let it run wild.
Oh,
it's dangerous.
It's a manifestation many different ways.
I'm like, create serial killers.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you.
Right. Or you self-destruct.
Yes, and you affect people more than I'm realizing now.
Yeah,
like, if radiates. I wasn't aware of it,
yeah.
Like, I remember this one girl, she was a doctor, and she seemed really cool, and we were talking, and she was really genuinely, like, I'm not adversarial by nature. Like, if I'm talking to a girl, I can catch a weird vibe. I kind of, like, I'm not going to, you know, whatever.
Back
but
off.
Everything was cool, and she said something about, like, we transitioned to texting. We're texting back and forth, and I just took a picture of a painting that I painted. And she's like, oh, my ex-boyfriend was a painter. She's like, it's okay, I'm not into art. I'm like, and I was cool. I was like, yeah, I know everyone's not into art.
Right.
Because I knew what she was trying. She was trying to dig at me.
Yeah.
Because that's how you hurt artists, by... you know, insulting their work. No.
Well, no, I think online dating is pretty much you're guilty until you're proven innocent.
Yes, yes.
So as soon as you start talking to them, they assume you're a rapist and a thief and a drug addict, and then you have to prove yourself wrong. You have to prove them wrong in order to continue the relationship.
And then they realize he's actually a nice guy.
So
nice,
time out.
Boring.
Yeah, right. That's exactly how it is.
You want to contribute to this conversation in any way, shape, or form? I mean, you know.
No, I mean.
You're not married, but I mean, you've been out there.
No, I mean, I.
What's going on?
You've never done the online dating thing?
So, some of my friends urged me to do it, like, last year. And I made a Tinder account for, like, 3 days. And I was like, this is really uncomfortable.
I bet you got flooded, didn't you?
And I was just like, I'm done. Yeah. Like, I'm done. This is
That's
really
the impression that I get off of most women who are actually upfront and honest.
I saw a lot of my friends on there. I was
flooded. Like, they have, like, 1,000 requests in their inbox.
Yeah, it was a different... I ended up just messaging my friends all the time on there. And I was like, this is weird. Like, how is this working for you? And blah, blah, blah. And then it just never... manifested into anything, and it freaked me out to the point where I was just like, I'm done.
I got 150 dick pics before I went to bed last night. So
you guys have it. Women
you too,
have it,
huh, Chris?
Have it totally.
You guys have it tougher. It's so much worse. Like,
all you need
I can
to
imagine.
Do is be a female to get your inbox on Facebook just inundated with just like
dumb
people
shit.
Just thinking, I don't know where
that they have a chance.
Think that right. No, but it's not even that. It's like it's not even polite. It's not even anywhere.
I want those guys' confidence. I hear these stories. But I want their confidence.
Anywhere where you should start. No, if but you listen, feel like right. you want to start.
Only,
have a
only
date
no
with
one could
be
listening and only imagining. I mean, it's a whole new world now. Online dating. I never did it. I've been married for so long, but yeah. I'm saying. Approaching a woman is still the same thing, man.
Correct.
I can't imagine how many guys think that they're going to, you know, take the easy route messaging you, for instance, Charming, on Facebook and wherever else. LinkedIn even, man. You know?
Yeah.
Right? And like, are you really
I like
impressive?
Your job, honey.
Yeah, you're really impressive.
Engineer,
A. Nice pantsuit, you know.
Yeah.
Are you really impressed? Are they really impressing you coming through on Facebook and on internet versus?
No, it's I'm not saying that can't
turn into
develop
something?
Into a healthy.
I guess,
but it's like it has to be a dialogue. I don't
right.
want
yeah,
you
I've
to just
some
be like
drop some
like,
messages.
You know, somebody messaged me once and told me they wanted to eat my ass like groceries, and I
I want to meet this guy.
You know,
who is he? I want to meet
right,
him. I want
to
hang
though,
out with
to
him.
Have
and
the confidence
drink beers with him.
No, the thing
he
is
my hero.
No, the thing is with Facebook, you created a world where.
You
can,
don't want to be like that.
But Charming.
I want to meet him, though. I want to meet him, though.
But Charming, that's the
I
world.
Don't.
Charming, that's the world where someone could say that to you on Facebook. They wouldn't
they
never say it
to
your
it to
face.
In person.
Because they
right.
could just shut it
and
off
then,
and run
right.
away.
But
you know
then,
what I mean?
It's
easy to hide behind
but
a
But then
keyboard.
The catch is, if she does not reply to that, 24,
I'm a,
but 20, 24 hours later, you get a message that says, well, fuck you then.
Yeah. What? You're ugly anyways. Like, what? Stuff like
Here's
that.
Is he saying
like,
that to you?
Okay. No, he didn't say that. But I blocked him because it just got weird.
Here's quite the U-turn and, there, the 180.
No, men do that all the time.
Do they?
Like,
it's had
they
to happen once,
rejection.
Though. That's my theory. Like,
rejection is a primal feeling,
right.
and some people are just way on the Neanderthal
on, what's up?
Scale
I,
of that. It's
I think
just,
it happened once. Like it worked once with that whoever these weirdos are. So one time, somebody out of a
pass.
Thousand... And it worked, and he got whatever he wanted from her, a date, laid, whatever. And then he's like, ding, 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 that, you know, normally
he
normally
told,
he
told all
you.
His friends.
Yeah, and then
yeah,
they
I
just keep
you.
Doing that over and over.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
what
that becomes his game, right?
It doesn't work.
That
and
becomes
then,
his game, yeah. his card.
And he goes to school, and he goes, dude, you're not going to believe
just
what
try
I just
this.
Found out.
I mean,
try this.
I've had, there's work one person who, like, I've known
Rod Stewart got his stomach pumped because it was full of semen,
dude. He's been messaging me for years and just, hey, I've never responded, and it's just like a long.
Hey,
and I feel bad, but at the same time, I'm just like, man, like.
But do you get warm and fuzzy when it's like Christmas, and he's like, hey, Merry Christmas? You're like,
No, it's not even that. It's just, hey, years apart, just like months apart. It's ridiculous. Like, at what point do you just, like.
He probably misspelled it too, H-A-Y, the whole time.
Yeah.
It's
what if
weird.
He, what if we're like it? What if like 8 months passed and then you just text him back and go,
hey,
oh my god, I
what would
know.
Happen?
Wouldn't you feel bad if
what
one day he like he doesn't write
just do
hey,
that social
like,
experiment?
And you look on his social media and he's like in the hospital, like
you feel bad.
That's none of my business. I have nothing to do with that.
Poor Charming.
That
yeah. sleepless night.
He's in a body cast in a hospital.
I never said hey back to him.
Jimmy, he normally says hey around 8 o'clock every evening.
Right.
And something's up.
Nothing's going on.
You save his life. Check on Keith or whatever his
oh
name would be.
God.
You saved his life.
It's on his headstone. Hey.
I mean, it is a totally different world, though, for females.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure.
Think that,
that's why I want to have this show, this particular episode.
It's upsetting, though, because it's like, you know, like, I'm on social media to, you know, for different reasons. We're all in there for different reasons.
Sure.
You know, like, I keep in contact with people
that's
that
it.
I know all over the country
yeah,
or
yeah, yeah.
whatever. And and it's just fun. I don't take it too seriously. Like, I
that's
try
what
not
I'm saying.
To.
Yeah. I try not to as well.
You know, but I do think it's a good way to communicate seriously
yeah.
in other ways. But, you know, I think that it upsets me that somebody takes my platform
yeah.
and uses it abusively.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. You
yeah.
know?
And
like
you know, the thing is, they find it entertaining.
They,
right.
Yeah, they
it's
love
a, it's
it.
A, it's a bunch of 14-year-old boys just
getting
laughing their
it.
Ass off in their bedroom going, dude, look what I just did to this chick. Look what
yeah,
I said to
it's
her.
Like,
it's so funny.
Who do
most
you think
trolls
you
are?
Are
lazy. That's what I've always realized. Most people that are like do that stuff like that, like rather than doing it the right way,
they got nothing else to do.
But yeah, it's like people, you know, how what's the expression? The squeaky wheel gets the oil. You
yeah,
know, no different than you know trying to inbox you or message you or whatever it is. You know, people don't want to do things the right way. So
right,
and that's
yeah.
why you start getting this just like left field like
right.
messages and so forth. So.
Or just like as soon as I'll accept friend requests most of the time from like a guy, and I will only accept friend requests from people if there's multiple, if there's mutual people mutual in common, friends. Unless I just met them.
Sure.
And immediately I get an inbox message. Immediately. And just I'm just like, what them. Is yeah. that? Like,
yeah.
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks. Like, you know, I'm really glad we're friends now.
Are they going to your, like, remember, what? Thanks for the creepy friend request. Shit. Thanks for the friend acceptance. Yeah, yeah. And creepy dudes post out in your wall. And I'm just like,
yeah,
oh,
it's just like,
why would you thank someone for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for shaking like, my hand tonight. The show.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're welcome. Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks for that high five.
It's uncomfortable.
Just so you know, my,
we'll do a low one next time, pal.
Just so you know, my dried semen was on that hand.
Jesus.
You might want a fist bump next time, because yeah.
And then I feel bad for the poor. I feel bad for their poor social skills and the desperation. However, the desperation is the scariest thing.
Yeah.
There's nothing scarier than that.
Oh my God, love me, love me.
Hey, I got a 13-year-old who's doing the social media thing with other kids and girls in his 7th grade class, and I'm not going to be. I have to look. I'm not looking constantly, but I got to check in once in a while, see what he's doing, where he's going.
I think that's responsible.
Yeah, because some girls are, and guys, I mean, it's a whole different world they live now, man, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I think there's always been nutty people, but now social media's given everyone a voice.
Everyone has
it. So back like in the 80s and 70s,
this conversation was right here.
Yeah, you could be crazy in the comfort of your own home.
That's right.
But like once you give someone that has issues or just eccentric or whatever a phone, and then they type something, and they've never anybody. Been heard all of their life. And someone's like, "Eh,
it's the new megaphone,
like, affirmation." Yep. And then it's just like, and then they
it's a new bullhorn.
Yeah,
like, I don't know how to self-soothe. I have to get this out somehow. And so they just comment on. I know one person who just every like major like thing that's like posted by a major page, like they're just in the mix, and I'm just like, "What are you?"
Well,
doing,
I'm telling you, man.
Like,
talking to a 13-year-old today.
You have friends.
I got a you have a son.
Yeah,
I got my son. 13, obviously he's got girls on there on Instagram and whatnot. I tell him straight up. I mean, it's almost like talking to a 21-year-old now. They go, look, dude, whatever you do, you know, you can't be saying this, can't be doing that. Yeah. You know, they start sending you pics and all this dumb shit.
That's it can be so damaging.
The 7th graders are doing this shit.
That's permanent.
That's why I tell them, whatever you put out of here right now is permanent.
Yeah.
It ain't just going away. It's out there, man. Yeah. Whatever you say.
You want to be president, man? This is going to be dragged out by somebody.
They don't know the difference.
Everybody remembers.
Well,
yeah, because it's hard to be objective when you're in the here and now. And you're living in a life with, you know, hormones and, like, you know, you're not whatever else. You're growing up. And it's like, it's hard to think about those consequences.
It's like asking me to comment on the Model T.
Like, right. What do I know?
That was before my time. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Right? Like the Industrial Revolution, I don't know anything about that. Civil War.
I feel like you'd pretend.
Why are you asking me to comment on this kind of crap?
That's the kind of way I look at it in regards to kids. Like, they, in their defense, I start to realize this. My sister and I, I love her to death. She's a scholar. You know, she's very brilliant, very intellectual in conversation. And I was kind of like, you know, griping about my son, same conversation we're having. And she was like, you have to realize, like, the kids are hypersexualized. We didn't have this stuff growing up. Like,
this is true.
You would have to go and steal your parents.
Me and Chris talk
magazine.
About this all the time.
Yeah.
Times are different.
Yeah. Dumpster porn.
Oh, yeah.
Now you can watch porn on the
watching
TV.
Watching scrambled porn, hoping for a titty to pop out.
No. Dumpster porn. Jerking off
friends.
The Sears catalogs.
Yeah. I know, right?
Sears catalogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sears catalogs. I've jerked off the Sears catalogs.
I remember, like, you were creative. I remember.
You were creative.
No, dude,
I was at one point.
This is the first time I've ever said that.
It's all off the cliff now.
So I remember when we would go, like, I'd go to the library. My grandfather, that was a baby, so he'd dump me off there. So I remember as a kid, we'd go to, like, National Geographic and look at, like, the pictures of the naked.
I could never.
And then
I could never jerk off
once
to a National
Geographic.
Once
in a while on PBS,
that's where I drew the line.
Some tribe in,
there were some hot,
Guinea
like, I remember there some hot.
I drew the line there.
There were some hot
Amazonian
women.
I cannot jerk off to some tribal or anything.
I never did that, but it was a library, so I had, like.
But when you're 11 or 12.
It was exciting, nonetheless.
Yeah, when you're 11 or 12, you break.
Yeah, you stare at it for a while, you go, wow, it's
and there's
a
no DVR.
Dudes were weird. Like, boys, we're hypersexual. Like, yeah, we're like, so, like, we're just like that. I remember getting that thrill, like, and I'd go and I'd, like, giggle to myself.
Oh, my God, I wonder what it feels like.
And then you tell your friend, and they're like,
looking at it. It looks like a booby. That's a booby.
If I could just touch it.
Oh, if I could just touch it. You're like rubbing the picture on the National Geographic like this. Like this.
But for me, from my perspective growing up, like when I, you know, would look through National Geographic, like I would hurry up and pass that.
Because
I was, you know, just taught that that's not okay to be, to project that kind of sexuality. Yeah. And like, I didn't understand that that was like a, I wasn't taught that that was a natural thing and that, you know, it's okay. Like, there's a clinical side to it.
Not to go down a path. We could talk all night about the stuff going on today in the world. We talked about a little bit a couple of shows back.
Shame.
Right. But we're talking about a lot of things in the world right now. A lot of things going on with people, the whole gender thing and the transsexuals. Again, I'll say it right here. I ain't phobic. I'm not afraid of anybody. I'm not even going to say I'm uncomfortable. I just kind of don't understand what's going on with a lot of it.
That's why you need to have Mary Adele on here to help you.
Yes and no. I don't think she's really the expert, but we'll bring her on. We'll talk about it some more.
She is a sex educator.
Yeah, but still. Okay. She's a female. Females are wired different than men are wired. And it's the truth. Just what Karan's talking about right now.
Yeah.
It's different for boys than it is for girls.
Oh, she's a sex educator, huh? Wait till I get older.
At the age of 30, she's a sex educator.
I'll show what a sex educator is.
Well, you're saying like with like, you know, you're confused with the trend.
I'm confused with what's going on with it.
Gender fluidity.
The gender fluidity stuff. Because it's like, look, man, I can relate to a lot of things you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Because we're guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's wiring. Between there and up here. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Right? Without going into graphic detail.
Yeah.
And I know girls are wired differently.
Well, and that's...
Things are a little more emotional with them, man.
Here's the first step. Like, I think it's okay to say I don't understand, right?
Right.
I'll be completely frank. Like, I have a lot of my friends that, like, are gay or they're trans.
And that's fine.
And again, I know that I don't know that I'm saying, oh, well, no, I want to be called a male or I want to be called a female.
Right.
And I'm not saying this facetiously. I'm like, I don't know. And I think that's but the moment you have that dialogue, like, hey, I don't get it, you know, there's that fear of, like, the backlash of it.
Well,
Now people are just, like, play that, oh, well, if you want to wear a dress, oh, you know, whatever and stuff. I think I'm a little bit... I don't think I'm very extremely progressive, but if you seriously want to know about it, there should be a platform to be able to really be educated if you really want to know.
Well, I am opening the mics up to bring some people on here to talk about it and to have an honest conversation about it. Because, again, I ain't afraid of it. I don't care what you do. It's your business. If you want to wear a dress and you're a dude, you want to wear pink, I don't care.
Yeah.
Rock on with your bad self. I just don't understand what's going on with the gender thing. And you got people out there not claiming a gender and all this bullshit.
Do you think there needs to be any platform for anything anymore?
Right.
Like, why do you need to stand on a platform? It's all out there in the open.
Yeah.
You can Google search anything you want and make friends with anybody you want in this world.
Well, yes and no. So let's say you brought on like someone that said, and again, this is my ignorance. I'm claiming that like a drag queen, and you bring them
by all means,
and you hear their story, and I'm listening. That's why I love podcasts because
it's
you
honest,
guys
it's
do
raw, right?
What. These big corporations will
I'm
do
working it,
so, it
out.
Yeah.
Trying
so
to get them on.
That's how I learned. So I would learn from that. Like, where you're here, and how much knowledge do we get from podcasts? I learned a lot of stuff where I'm sitting there, like, you know,
driving along,
and then you hear something,
like,
oh, that
them.
Makes sense or whatever like that. So, you know, I think there should be a platform because that's how I learn. Like, I've learned a lot about, like, you know, so for example, you know, and I'm sure this soundbite will get dug up, and if I ever run for president, which I won't, but like,
awesome,
so
hub show.
If you ask someone, like, you know, have you ever, you know, use a racial epithet? And I know we might be getting heavy here, but you know, I'll navigate through.
Throw
it
out there, Chris.
He's going to use one right now.
Or no,
Chris is gripping his speaking spell as we speak.
Like, you know, say something like, you know, a gay epithet. You know what I mean? Like the F word. You know,
N-word.
Things like that. It wasn't until like I was around my, you know, my gay friend, and I used it as like, if I'm in traffic, I'm like, this bleeping F, you know, needs to drive. And in my head, I was like, to me, the way I was raised and grew up around was like, oh, it's just like, oh, you're being an idiot and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then and I said that with my gay friend in the car. Well,
as the F word, you're talking about a fag?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
A cigarette and inwards?
Yeah. Yeah. Bundle of sticks, yeah.
Okay. So, I didn't know if it was the other F word. Apparently, we have a couple F words now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
A British
yeah.
cigarette?
Yeah. Go ahead. Well, yeah. I guess fag.
They smoke fags over there.
Yeah. So,
I think Elton John calls himself a fag. He's not gay. He's a fag.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
Hey, I've been around gay people who throw that word at each other,
though,
man.
The
it's crazy.
Connotation, like, you didn't feel flamboyant. Like it was offensive.
And then once I was educated about it, then I don't, like, once I was educated about it, and it was interesting because, you know, he was a white gay male, and he was like, it's like the same thing that people say, and this set the shit straight in me. It was like, it's the same thing where someone says, oh, well, you know, oh, you could be an N-word and be white. No, it's bullshit. I fucking hate that excuse. Like, oh, well, N-word means uneducated person. No, dipshit. It's a derogatory term used to all people of African descent.
I
do
gotcha.
Not candy coat it. Don't say it. But he said that's no different. I'm like, he's fucking right. It's no different than someone just uses the drops the N-bomb.
But then again, I have gay friends who
use the word all the time.
And they think it's funny when other people use it. It's a really
what's colloquialism? That's a term like it's you know, you and your homegirl, and you're like, oh, bitch, I'm smart. Like, that's where social IQ, there comes to responsibility where I know better. And I can, like, if you're a group of six girls and I say, hey, what's up, bitches?
Yeah,
you and then you don't, and you guys cuss me out and throw a drink in my face. I can't be like, well, you guys said it.
Yeah.
What?
I thought it was cool.
If you put a knife in my throat, I deserve that. Because I know better. Like, if I see a guy that's 6'4", he's wearing a pink shirt.
I heard you saying, though. I'm not out here throwing those words out. I get it. I have gay friends.
And that's the thing. That's you know better, you do better.
But it's funny what she said. I had a gay friend in Los Angeles, and he was, like, talking to me about his gay friends. And it's funny because they were throwing that F word around at each other.
Yeah.
Both derogatorily and jokingly. I was like, whoa, this is a whole new thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like black guys using the N-word on each other. Just, we don't do it, right, Chris? I mean, we don't, you know, I never would.
Unless it's in a song. I mean, I don't have no problem saying it.
What's funny when I DJ, too, sometimes I'll be in clubs.
Is that
and
okay?
Along with
it. I mean,
it's, you know.
If you're rapping along to it, I mean, it.
If you're in the if you're in the zone, there's no censor in me.
I listen to a lot of
Wu-Tang
and a lot of different stuff. Right? I mean, that
could be a whole like because
it's another show to itself.
A whole conversation about that.
Because I know when I DJ, I'll be playing songs and stuff, and
nigga ain't worried about nothing.
They'll say something and they'll say whatever, right? And then they'll drop this. I'll play the song and then you look around to see like white people and then they'll say it and my friends are like, you know, do you feel offended by that? I'm like, it's in context, you know. And
the context is the right word.
But there's so many dumb people out there that will use that battle cry and just say, hey, this is, you know, well, so and so said it. Like, again, people play.
I know, but this is the problem today, Karan. Is the people are letting all the dumb people ruin shit, is what I'm saying.
The smart people are not humping.
I mean, I'm on the same level as you as far as your thought process.
Why aren't the smart people humping?
But a lot
anymore.
Of people are really getting sensitive about stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like you're letting the dumb people overrule.
If I know a word like is offensive to like you guys were hanging out and I know that, like,
try
how
me.
Hard is it for
to,
me not to like
reserve,
try?
Yeah,
try
and
like,
not
how
say,
hard is
yeah.
it really?
Try,
like,
try, yeah. I got a challenge for you. Try to find a word that I'm offended by.
Well, you know, in my
again,
I don't know.
As he clutches his speaking spell.
Cracker.
No. I love
crackers. I understand where you're
going. I've had a cracker thrown at me derogatorily before by black
and
guys.
That's why I think there are those gray areas, you know, like song lyrics or whatever, you know, I don't know. But, I mean, as a whole, it's not okay.
Yeah.
I took down my drawers the other day getting ready to have sex.
The point that,
I took
know,
down my pants. But, and cracker crumbs came out. And she said, what the hell's going on? I said, everything's better on a Ritz, baby.
Oh, my God.
But, you know,
and with that,
no, and, but just to kind of wrap up what I was saying,
sure.
Like, you know, if someone asked me, and this is true, this happened on a date, something similar. But if someone asked me, have I ever used a derogatory word? I'm going to say yes.
Of course you have.
And, but here's
honest.
The thing, you're going to get like, and it's really hard. Like to, I was like 17, 18 years old.
Right?
And I was like, you know, so do I,
what you talking about the F word?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You know, I teach my son, you know what I mean? Like, not to, and everyone to teach his own, you know, I've learned better. Like, you know, I don't want to be that guy, all my friends are, but I'm very supportive of, like, you know, gay rights. Why? Because I'm an African-American male in America, right? So my friends, you know, a lot, especially, I don't want to speak for all black people, but I know a lot of, like, my friends are in the hood and stuff like that. They're very homophobic, right? And I never understood why, like, minorities are homophobic because I'm like, you've dealt with adversity. You've dealt with, you know, discrimination. Why is it cool to, you know,
right.
You don't like when someone does it to you. Why do it to another, you know, another person?
And the bottom line is, you tell me you don't like getting blowjobs, right? Because I think everybody loves that,
yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, but not from another dude. I wouldn't like.
No, it's not my cup of tea either, man.
But I really don't understand. Like, honestly, I don't understand what women see in men because we're disgusting creatures.
We are.
I've always had this conversation with my female friends.
I'm just a caveman.
Like, I was playing a game of, like, pickup basketball, shirt skins, and we were skins. And I remember, like, we were sweaty. Mm-hmm. And we just won the game, and like high fived them, and like bumped chests, and our nipples touched.
Mm-hmm. And I was like,
horrifying. Oh man, right. Like, and he smelled, and I try smelled, and like, that's, he was like, was we like, won, see, look, but he held on a little bit too long. Well, listen, and I was like, what do women see in men?
No. Yeah, exactly. I'll say it right now. That's why, you know, gay, whether you're gay, well, that's what you do. This is not my cup of tea.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, if you're a guy and you're attracted by another guy. You know, attracted to another guy, yeah. That's your business. I ain't knocking it. Yeah. I just don't see it.
Yeah. I just don't see what women see in men.
Guys, I don't. But I can't look at another guy and see stubble and shit like that and go, yeah, you know, it's just not.
No,
you know.
No, yeah.
I don't want to see that.
And the same, well, it's like, you know, my you know, again, a
but
few.
Whatever. My, that's what floats your boat. That's what floats your boat.
So, a few of my, like, homophobic friends that are, like, you know, I even say they're homophobic, but they're just, I don't know what you would consider them. And, you know, I remember, you know, you see a good-looking guy walk in, and that's the one thing where you start splitting hairs, where I'm like, oh, you know, I like the guy's outfit. Oh, you know, what are you, gay? And I'm like, put it this way. If Gary Coleman from, like, Different Strokes is next to your girl, and, like, Denzel Washington, who are you going to get more nervous by? Obviously, Denzel
Washington. What you talking about?
Yeah, so you see, exactly. Yeah. What you so talking about, like, Grant? So I always ask that. I'm like, so you tell me you can't, like, look at another guy and say they're attractive or something like that. And I always say that same thing. I'm like, if this guy right here, you know, teeth missing, you know, horrible looking.
Hey,
they're like, no.
Time out. I can look at another guy and see why chicks like him.
The thought process is there.
Really?
Yeah. Regardless of how.
I can look at another guy and see why girls are attracted to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
Well, I would. I always put myself in the woman's point of view.
Right.
Right.
Well, just like,
well, which is what I'm doing. I can see why.
You see a guy with, like, clothes. Like, do you just buy anything, or are you looking for something that's going to look good?
Like, yeah.
But you see a guy with, like, a 5 o'clock shadow, right? And you're like, would I like to have a cactus between my legs right now? It's like, no, it's not going to happen.
But some chicks might like that.
Some chicks might like straddling the cactus.
Some dudes might like that. Whatever.
So this might not, maybe this, and this isn't, my friends would say this is comparing apples to oranges, but, like,
in the heat of passion.
There's a lot of, like, what about, like, you know, straight guys, right? And what we like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's a lot of guys that say they specifically are turned on by, you know, blonde hair girls.
I was just going to go with it. Betty and Veronica, right?
Yeah. So I think, you know, LA, the same Veronica. Thing could be said about, like, you know, right. people that have, like, you know, the men that are attracted to other men or women that are attracted to other women, you know.
Whatever,
and I think
humans
can't,
is.
Like, right. you know, look at, oh, well, it's normal for me. Like, so, for example, like, if you're, you know, attracted to, you know, my friend and I, we have a lot of conversations about, because he's single and he's very, like, I'm kind of like optimistic, and he's been doing it for like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh man. So we you know, we talk about, like, what people like and stuff. And I was like, oh, you know, I was like, it's interesting that the demographic of the women that'll talk to me is like, you know, what is, you know, the women that you liked. And I'm like, I'm very open minded, but, like, I told him, it was just another black guy I was talking to. I was like, I'm like attracted to very dark skinned women. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh,
but that's his opinion.
Like, yeah, sure. See, so
it's like, I like pepperoni, you like sausage on your pizza, whatever.
So, right? So I understand. I'm cool with that. I'm cool if someone likes, you know, or this person likes this person's stuff, you know. So I kind of, like, look at that whole analogy. Like, I know I personally don't, you know, I'm not attracted to men. But the person next to me that might
be attracted to
men.
That's what I'm talking about. That's your business.
It's
all
fun.
Good.
Like, and I'm not, and here's where the thing where people have to quit trying to, like, normalize, like, look at things and say, well, that's not normal. What is normal? No one can say.
Yeah, but
what
the whole goal is to make it normal.
Yeah.
The whole goal is so that people are going to think like you and I think, hey, that's what you like, that's what you like.
Yeah.
And it's no big deal.
And that's, yeah.
I hope we get to that point.
I hope too, yeah.
You're hoping we get to that point?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. You want total freedom of thought. You want no restriction on any thought at all?
What are you talking? Like, I thought we were talking about sexuality.
No, I'm just saying, like, as far as individuality and society as a whole,
people being able to, you know,
as far as individuality and society as a whole, you want zero control. Is that what the world? Is that what your ideal world is?
That'll never happen.
You want zero control.
Philosophically,
I don't think that
you want people. You want people to be. You want people to be able to think and act as free as they want and do whatever the fuck they want and have no repercussions on it.
That's a huge,
that's,
like,
yeah, that's
big leap.
Really,
that's where it's heading, though.
I think that's the line we're heading to.
But I think that's the philosophical debate. We're trying to
talking about, you know, whatever happens in the bedroom stays in the bedroom. But it's like some people are crucified for what happens in their own bedroom, and I don't think that's right.
The farther
that's what I'm saying.
The farther we travel through time, right, and the more
that we evolve, that's the path that it's heading to, is that everyone can, everyone's thought can be accepted as normal, right? That's the path that we're on.
Where do you draw a line?
Do people draw a line
with the kids, with the animals? I'm not saying homosexuality falls into that category.
Do you think in 50 years I'll be able to be like, yeah, I think I want to go over and fuck that goat, and everybody will be okay with it?
That's animal rights.
I think that's a total.
Are those animal rights?
Thing. Yeah.
Wait, those are animal rights.
We're dealing with our same species here. I think that's a totally different thing.
So you're drawing the line
and
at
I'm
species.
I'm not saying that it's okay to rape children or anything like that. I'm not going there with that. So let's not even jump on that.
Okay.
All right, Chris.
I just wonder where the lines are.
You're stretching it.
Because the lines are being stretched. The lines have been being stretched since the 1800s. They just keep getting stretched and stretched and stretched.
I mean, are you not okay with women voting?
How far
you know?
Are we
going like,
to stretch the line?
Where are you going to go with this? Like, where are you... What would be your ideal world?
I don't know. What's Chris's utopia? I'm just waiting to die is what I'm doing.
I mean...
I'm trying to get through each day to where I can go to sleep at the end of the day and then wake up the next day until eventually I don't wake up the next day.
Isn't that my goal?
Yeah. I'm just waiting to die.
You're already doing it.
Yeah. I don't...
Again, I'm down for everything.
I don't know where the...
I
don't know where the world's heading.
If animals are your thing, though?
I just don't want to read news stories about somebody getting, you know, murdered because they like men and
correct.
They're a man.
Me either.
It's no different, like, you know, what someone could ask the question, what 80 years ago, would I be sitting here with you guys? Absolutely fucking not. Like, because there's laws. It was normal for you to be with you. So, it's...
Or even me.
Yeah.
Like, back, you know, the 1800s, you know, early 1900s, I wouldn't be here either, you know?
So I think there has to be, like, you know, there. You know, I'm a firm believer that people definitely, you know, their rights are important. Rights for one person is, you know, rights for another person.
Rights are rights.
But, you know, and I see where a lot of people are worried. The whole gun control thing. You know, I live in Pennsylvania, so, you know, it's pretty easy. If you have a pulse, and you go and you can get a concealment license. But it's like, I hate talking politics, but I'll just state my preference. Military people. I don't feel the same guns that civilians should have that you guys have. Because...
Oh, I don't either. I totally agree with you.
So, but here's the knee-jerk debate.
I know.
Here's the knee-jerk debate. Well, you take one thing away, then they take all...
Yeah.
Fuck you, dude. That argument is so played out. Like, stop. If you take that, then they will keep going. And again, their buddies pat them. Good job,
man. You're not
going
to take my guns, but I got an AR-16.
But like my grandfather and guys are like, people have done it that's been there. They're like, why should you have armor-piercing bullets?
Right.
Yeah, and that's where, like, I believe there needs to be moderation.
Why can't we have regulations, just regulations on things that, like that,
But look back in the past.
Well, regulations lead to more regulations and more regulations.
There was regulations in the past, right? Yeah. And now there's regulations now, and you don't think there's going to be regulations in the future?
I'm talking about deadly weapons.
So everything keeps expanding. Everything keeps expanding. You know, that's like there's the back in the 1800s. I'm sure when they came out with the first like bullet that shot off of a black powder inside of it, and you didn't have to pack it in a musket. I'm sure there was regulations on that then. Said no, you're not allowed to have anything that's not a musket.
Chris, you think civilians should be able to have a?
And then now today we're having the same argument.
50 caliber machine gun sticking out of there.
We're having the same argument with different tools. And in the future,
well, those tools are a little more lethal. Chris.
20 years in the future, we're going to be having the same argument with different tools again. Yeah. It's just going to keep on going.
Lasers.
It's going to keep repeating.
Lasers?
Yeah.
Laser
those are guns. Next.
Nobody's allowed to use shrink rays in the future.
But here's the thing I think that I want to capitalize on what's going on right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's dialogue, and this is one thing I'm passionate about as a comedian. Like, so. I'm not, like, right now, as we're having this conversation, I'm learning about everyone here, right? And I can be brutally honest, and I don't feel any ill will. Do I feel that we all have conflicting, different views? Yeah.
Of course we do.
But why can't we have different views and still respect each other?
So hang on,
have a beer. Do you notice that on social media where it's like, you know, someone, you know, ask, like,
the whole,
you know, who, you know, what is your belief, you know, this and that. So I'm a firm believer that I don't think you should treat other people like shit, period. Like, there's different, I think that's universal. I don't care if you're Muslim, if you're Christian or whatever like that. That's kind of like
that's
the golden
humanity.
Rule. That's humanity and stuff, you know. And I think people use religion, we use these politics. Social media politics as like a platform for
it's
your
Pepsi
deep
Coke.
Down hate.
It's
like,
ridiculous,
like,
man.
And, like, and no one's gonna like. My grandmother always, you know, always told me, I like my racist racist. If you're gonna be.
Be honest
Boom.
About
be
it.
Be honest yeah. about it. You know, right. but don't like you know use different platforms and
don't
stuff.
Alabama, behind, Mississippi race. Yes, yes. Don't yeah. hide behind your religion
Just
or whatever
it.
Else.
Yes,
right.
Yeah,
yeah. Like,
yeah.
That's
so. I think this is why you guys need. Podcasts are growing because you know unfortunately you know there's podcasts that just spew hate like
it sure is
unadulterated hatred you know
sure
we and were then there's have, times where you have actual conversations where you're like
right.
you've got to go in with an open mind and someone's just so going in to just prove my point and the best conversations I've had is where I've learned from like my friend mm-hmm. that said hey you know whenever I was like you know 19 years old and you know he had just came out and he was like dude that's wrong and mm-hmm. I'm like and I credit him to being a lot more open-minded and stuff rather than being like oh well he's trying to take my rights no he's not he's like dude what I said was wrong eat shit and die Quran like move on and learn
right.
you know what I mean versus like justifying like
right.
something that's blatantly wrong you
I
know
getcha.
And we can walk out of here and like and again it's not a polarizing view or any views I haven't heard before you know or even stuff I say someone might look at me and say okay you know Quran is like you know liberal as fuck or progressive as fuck, you know, whatever.
I
consider
myself
know
those
a moderate.
Those words mean anymore.
Yeah, and
honestly,
that's a good question. Yeah,
it's why do you have to label anything?
Look,
yeah.
Quran, this is what I think. You have kids, I have kids.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
No matter all this bullshit that's being talked about, at the end of the day, I just want safety for kids and for people in general.
Yeah.
Man. You
yeah.
know, go do what you want to do, as long as not hurt nobody
and
else.
And that transcends religion and,
it
and race.
Exactly.
And
don't thump on me.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think
yeah.
dialogue is important. That's what's missing
Absolutely,
in America. And in the world, like, there needs to be dialogue. Like, how many times have you hung out with someone you don't hang out with? And you're like, dude, this guy's really cool.
Which,
this chick's really
which,
cool.
You know,
and
which,
you're shocked that people that don't have the same views than you are actually cool to hang out with. Or they have,
I've
like,
always known
or
that,
they have,
though,
oh,
man.
You have a family, too? Oh, we have some. I
I've
think
always known
is
that, though. I've always known
yeah,
that,
absolutely.
Though. But that's the thing. Circling back around to social media, it's wild, right? We're all open conversations, but we've turned into this world where it's really polarizing.
Yeah.
You're either on this side or that side.
Yeah.
And it's so much bullshit.
And that's the thing that...
We weren't like this 25 years
that's
ago.
That's a slippery yeah. slope we're on. You cannot...
You know what
like,
I'm saying?
I got to see Bonte. He's a monk, a Buddhist monk.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends were in family that were like, you know, I grew up, you know, I went to Catholic school, moved here. My parents, you know, that's pretty, you know, Catholic religion is pretty conservative.
Very conservative.
You know?
Yeah.
So my friends, and I think my faith belief, I'm very, you know, I identify myself as a Christian, right?
Right.
But I'm very progressive, you know what I mean? And, you know, with that being said, I went and watched him perform, and he said, you know, his first thing is, like, I don't like happiness.
Right.
And everyone's, like, getting uptight, and, like, and you said something, you were kind of alluding to that, like, about you can't have these extremes, so it was, like, you know, at one moment, if you're happy, that's temporary. If you're sad, that's temporary. And then in between, it's like, that's
right.
what we're all struggling for. That's what we're all fighting for, is that kind of in between, you
yeah.
know? So.
That's what Chris was saying through the speaking spell. He had to pee. He just ran out of here.
Oh, yeah.
He
that's fine,
break.
Though.
But moderation
no way,
is
man.
Like,
this one, this is too good to stop. I didn't want to take a break on this one.
No, sorry.
This is good. No, man, this is good.
But that's what it is moderation. And it's like, we try to find, like, you know, I think moderation is all through our life. Like, you know, you look at it with drugs, you look at it with, like, you know, depression, anxiety, all that stuff. And I think, you know, why do people drink? Why are we drinking? This is poison, right? Beer.
Right.
I went on this. I basically got in my car and went to stop. Like, let's break it down to, like, you know, chemistry, like, basic. Every time we drink beer, our body panics. Like, oh, shit. You know, and that buzz feeling that we like.
It's poisoning.
It's poisoning.
Yeah.
Sure. You know what I mean? So it's like what we're trying to, like, you know, how do you relax yourself? Well, meditation, that's too hard. So humans, we want that easiest
instant.
Way.
Easy
yeah.
route.
Exactly. That, the easy
convenience.
Route. You know, and again, like, if you drink in moderation, you know what I mean? Like, we're all going to die of something, right? But if you drink in moderation, you know, that's fine. But there's that word again. Like, we're trying to balance. So when people that are out, you know, using drugs and stuff like that,
sure.
they're trying to, it's not logical. Well, it's logical because that's normal.
I honestly think that it's just self-awareness.
Yes. Honestly. Yeah.
What is what's self-avoidance?
Drug use and,
drug
and
use?
Alcohol use and whatever. You know, like, it's like I like you're saying, like, meditation's too hard, but that is the truest sense of, like,
eventually,
really getting
yeah.
in there and
yeah.
facing
I tried
yourself.
It, man.
And
I can't.
Whatever
I tried hard.
Else, you know, silencing the mind and what's going
yeah.
on.
I have a
and,
hard time with it. I tried doing it,
that.
Man. I'm
it
not,
is easier
doing
to
right.
just go home and just have a beer and
You Which know, I don't do.
I'm guilty. I don't of do that either. I do that. Yeah. Like I have a bad day, and I'm just
I'm
tired.
I'm a lightweight. Like the most I drink is when I come here. I have one drink just to loosen up.
Yeah,
poison myself, I guess.
Well,
but,
and again, I'm just saying
I'll
that.
Pee
like,
it out later.
It's
all good.
It's a general example.
Yeah, and same thing with like you know, I had a conversation with one of my friends about like we were out, and this is the beautiful thing, like being around. Like there's always a comfort zone with your friends where you can talk about that, and it's tough to talk with about the stuff with strangers. And my one friend doesn't smoke. Marijuana. They both live in Pennsylvania. It's medicinal now, and the other one does. And my other friend, you know, had a few DUIs and stuff, and he was completely like against you know marijuana use and so forth. And they asked me kind of like you know we're sitting there talking, and I'm like you know my thoughts are really plain and simple. It's like in modern medicine, I don't recall where they ever used orally. You know, right. if you get a cut or they'll use rubbing alcohol, which is alcohol. You know. To cure people, and I was like, but I find it hard to believe knowing family members that were like 8 years ago, whenever it was taboo, were getting 50 seizures a day, and now they have their license back, they're adults now, and they just ignore that, right?
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, and it's and also from a federal level, it's considered a class one, which I think is hysterical. Like cocaine, heroin, they're class ones, they gonna kill you.
Yeah, Mary Jane.
You know, yeah, so.
I'm with you.
Yeah, so. And again, that's not progressive. That's just like, you know, if you're going to, like, you know, what's it? The best book I've ever read in college, a mathematician reads a newspaper. They surveyed a lot of people and they say, what's the number one threat to America? Everyone is saying terrorism, this and that, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Every year, 1.2 million people die because of heart disease, because of that stuff and the stuff I eat today.
Right.
But there's no.
No.
No one's going to talk it, but that's the number one threat is sugar, heart disease. Sugar.
Sugar.
But we're not going to brigade against
and green. But anyway, whole other conversation.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I had to pee so bad.
You feel better now?
Yeah.
Finish your beer, dude.
You're not taking a cut, I see.
No.
Yeah.
This is too good. We're rolling here, man. But we're going to wrap it up, though.
You got to, like, the 30-minute mark, and I noticed that you tried to, like, cut it.
Nope.
And then we kept talking over
it. I thought about it, but
you were like, okay,
no,
well.
No, man.
You gave him the, like,
this conversation was flowing too good to do that.
You know when you're trying to end a phone conversation?
Chris just flowed.
When you're trying to end a phone conversation, you're like, all right, well. Was it? Okay.
But,
Jay did that, and then it was like, and then he tried it, like, twice, and then it was like, okay, we're just going to keep on going.
Like, they do it.
I honestly thought about it. I was checking the clock, but I was like, you know, this is too good. Let's keep talking.
That little red light.
I don't want to break the momentum.
It was a lot of
really
flow
good show. Karan, we could have you on here, you know, every week, and we'd be talking about something different, right? That's the beauty of this whole thing.
The flow in my bladder was overwhelming.
Understood, Chris.
I had to go
rock on with your bad self. Hey, man, seriously, we want to have you back.
Thanks.
I mean, we could be here all night. It's turned to a six-hour podcast.
I like everyone's perspective.
Yeah, man,
too,
we're all supposed to have differences and butt heads now and then. But you know,
but you're doing what needs to be
done. It wouldn't
be
honest if we weren't doing it like that. Right?
We hash out a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I leave here feeling really, really good every Sunday. Podcast therapy, right?
It's because he's not a drinker, and we give him rum and coke.
So, Karan Dunbar, you're on Facebook out there. You got anything you want to plug? What's going on with you?
Nothing much. I'm just...
What's the next step in your life?
Yeah, what's going on?
I'm going to use that line that everyone uses when they're absolutely doing shit with their lives. I don't know, man. You know, just living my best life.
Are you?
I'm living my best life. Living the dream.
Are you?
Okay. Yeah. So, no, I've actually been working on... I've been very, very creative. Probably more creative the past, like, 3 months than I have been.
Doing what?
Just we just got a script done. A script.
Awesome.
It's a short film.
Something in the works.
Yeah, something in the works. Yeah, awesome. But I'm one of those guys that like it's not done till it's done. So you know, there's artists were notorious for that.
You
like
let the Hub Show know.
Keep us in the loop.
Man.
Yeah. And actually, we possibly be working with someone from the Hagerstown area. So really cool kid.
Well, don't forget us here, man.
Oh,
come talk about it. Let the whole world know.
You mean there's a really cool kid in Hagerstown?
Aaron Brooks, man. Yeah. Wrestler.
Yes.
Good kid, dude.
I've been trying to get him on the show, too. Jameer's been trying to get him on. It's just a scheduling problem.
He's from Hagerstown, and he's from Pakistan. And he's a good
wrestler.
Good kid, man. Like, I was like, man, like, my son's a good kid, but he's just, like, very positive, optimistic kid, and he's a good work ethic. Yep. But, yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, but
there you go.
I'll shoot John a message.
By all means, man. So. But you are always welcome to the Hub Show.
Thank you.
Pleasure having you on.
You guys are dope. So
awesome. Yeah.
So what's happening? You moving to L.A. or what?
Hell no, man. I got a place in Greencastle. I got a house there, so I'm going to stay there.
Nice.
Just like here.
You'll find a sugar mama and stuff. You know,
try to get the right people around here to do the right thing with this podcast thing. Hopefully, we can turn it into something.
You need to find me a nice sugar mama with the flat ass that'll listen to my power.
Charmer's looking for a sugar mama.
That's right.
This is my
now
problems.
Accepting applications for sugar mamas.
Yeah.
Take you on.
The sugar's bad for you. This shit will kill you.
My sugar mama.
No, you get your first.
My sugar mama bought me this T-shirt.
Drink soda, actually.
I no, I just was a knee jerk. I was thinking I saw soda there, but no, I, what no, I ate today it was awful. Downed a bunch of beers.
Now,
yeah.
Dissect it.
Dexter's gonna
dissect
like it though.
It, degrade.
That's it. All right, Hub Show. All
right.
Jay Heiss, Chris Canfield, Charmin Grisetta, and our guest, Karan Dunbar. Thanks for coming on, Karan.
Thanks for having me.
And is Vanna Black, she's still in the house?
Vanna Black?
There she goes. Yeah.
Producer in the shades.
That's it. All right, Hub Show, we're out of here. Later.
Producer Richie,
wake up.
Peace.
Turn them on. You've been listening to The Hub Show with your hosts, Charmin Grisette, Chris Canfield, and Jay Heiss. Mm-hmm.